to have been upwards of 250,000 young white girls raped in this century, very largely by Muslim men.
In 2008, an 11-year-old girl came to the attention of the police after she disclosed that she and another child had been sexually abused by a group of adult males. Just a few weeks later, she was found in a derelict house with another child and a number of adult males. Yet she was arrested, 11 years of age, she was arrested for being drunk and disorderly. And none of the males were arrested. Has your force identified the police officers involved in that and found out what went on?
I don't know.
The veil is lifting on the UK's festering underbelly of nauseating cover-ups, where Labour MPs under Keir Starmer's iron grip just slammed the door on justice for victims of Muslim grooming gangs.
The eyes to the right were 111, the nose to the left 364. So the nose have it, the nose have it. Unlock.
Labour crushed it, 364 to 111. Back in January 2025, the Tories pushed an amendment to the Children's Wellbeing Bill demanding a national inquiry into the predatory networks that have ravaged thousands of young, mostly white and working class British girls. While whispers of Islamophobia fears and political correctness shielded the perpetrators.
But I want to give a special thanks to the APPG on British Muslims for the brilliant work that you do to highlight issues affecting British Muslims and celebrate their achievements. As leader of the Labour Party, I am utterly committed to eradicating Islamophobia from my party and from society.
And let's not forget Starmer's own skeletons as director of public prosecutions in 2009. His CPS refused to prosecute serial pedophile Jimmy Savile despite credible allegations, citing insufficient evidence. Hundreds more victims suffered while the elite protected their own.
How did you get it, though?
I can get anything. Yeah. There's nothing I can't get. And there's nothing I can't do.
We should accept that pedophilia is a sexual preference, a thought, a feeling, and not an act. We should differentiate between child sexual abuse and pedophilia.
The stats paint a horrifying picture of a nation in denial, with police recording 71,227 rapes in 2024 alone, yet charges brought in a pathetic 2.7% of cases, leaving over 97% of predators walking free. By the year ending in March 2025, sexual offenses spiked to 209,079, a brutal 11% jump from the prior year.
And nothing has shaped my thinking more than our crowd-funded independent inquiry into the Pakistani Muslim rape gangs. An inquiry that should never have had to exist. An inquiry that I created only because the political system itself would not act. That inquiry has been the most sobering experience of my public life. Not just because of the awful crimes, not just because of the horrific suffering, but because of what it exposed about the way this country is governed.
Now zoom out to Scandinavia, where the same multicultural madness has turned safe havens into rape hotspots. Sweden tops the charts at 84.4 reported rapes per 100,000 people, followed by Norway at 42.39.9. With studies showing 92% of severe rapes in Sweden linked to foreign-born offenders. Yet convictions remain abysmally low. Just 6% in Sweden prosecute adult cases. Scandinavia's unchecked borders and elite denial breed predators, turning progressive paradises into hellscapes for women and girls, while real men appear to be non-existent. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
That, of course, is the latest from John Bound. You can find and share that video at band.video, InfoWars.com. Follow John Bound at NewsBound on X. Of course, follow Real Alex Jones, InfoWars, at AJN Live. And I'm, of course, at Harrison H. Smith. We'll be back on the other side to do your daily dispatch. Giant show today. Huge guest, Patrick Wood, Joseph Philip Daniels. We'll be talking about Zorro Ranch and all the new discoveries in the Epstein files. It's horrific. Stay tuned.
this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, the 17th of February, 2026. We got a big show for you. We'll be joined by Patrick Wood in the third hour. We'll also be joined by Joseph Philip Daniels. We'll be talking about Zorro Ranch and Epstein, and there's a lot of new information out of the Epstein files, believe it or not. Here we are, getting close to 2 weeks since it's been released, and still, every day, there is a plethora, an overabundance, a harvest of just the most insane information you could ever imagine. So we'll get into some of that. We'll also talk about a bunch of crazy catastrophes going on, transgender father shooting his family after apparently blaming it on us. Kind of crazy. That's a little bit insane. A church exploded in New York today. We'll look into what's behind that. And the largest wastewater spill in the history of America continues unabated as the local governments of D.C. and Maryland apparently incapable of even performing the most basic functions of government. All that and more to come on today's show. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 17th of February, 2026. New Mexico, to probe Jeffrey Epstein's Zorro Ranch activities, lawmakers in New Mexico unanimously approved a new legislation on Monday that authorizes a probe into the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein's Zorro Ranch, located 30 miles from Santa Fe. The legislation creates a special committee of state representatives, including two from both the Democratic and Republican parties, who will investigate happenings at the ranch and the related allegations of criminal activity. The effort, which will cost $2.5 million, according to Reuters, coincides with a federal push to release new information tied to Epstein and his associates led by the DOJ. So, yes, it's come to light that the Zorro Ranch property, that is the heart of a lot of Jeffrey Epstein's most obscene experiments and behaviors, was never searched by the FBI, never investigated, despite the fact that in some of his correspondence, there seemed to be hints that there are perhaps dead bodies located on the property. But there was never an investigation. It was never searched. So God only knows if there is anything there even to find, but better late than never, I think. Better late than never. So we'll get back into that very much so later in the show. Meanwhile, Eric Trump invests in a, quote, low-cost per kill drone company. The president's son has joined a deal to take Israeli company Extend public. Eric Trump is pouring money into a sector that's a growing focus of the Pentagon. His father oversees drones. The president's son is investing in a Israeli drone maker called Extend as part of a $1.5 billion deal to take the company public through a merger with a small Florida construction company. Battle-tested during Israeli operations in Gaza in recent years, Extend markets some of its drones as, quote, low-cost-per-kill munitions that align with U.S. defense directives to help wage modern warfare. So that's terrifying. I don't know, to me, that's sort of terrifying that that's the way things are going, but at least the Trumps are making money off it. Meanwhile, Biden official who created disinformation board has been appointed as FISA court advisor, sparking concerns from Russian senators. Jennifer Daskal helped select the board's controversial director, Nina Jankowicz, and will now advise judges on foreign surveillance legal issues. A Biden administration official who launched the Disinformation Governance Board and served as co-chair of the so-called Ministry of Truth has now been appointed to advise the powerful Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, prompting concerns from some Republican lawmakers. Yeah, well, what do you expect? What do you expect? I remember saying at the time of the Disinformation Board, there's got to be some sort of punishment for attempted tyranny, right? If you try to murder somebody, even if you fail, there's still a charge. It's like, this dude tried to kill somebody. We can't just let him walk around. It's not like I can go shoot a gun at you and I miss and it's like, and you just have to like let me walk away. Like, no, there was an attempt to commit a crime. I remember at the time, the Disinformation Governance Board, as it was, they kept saying like, it's been defeated by disinformation, because talking truthfully about what's going on causes people to turn against it, which is the reason the Disinformation Board was being impaneled in the first place. But I remember the time saying, yeah, these people have to be punished for this. No, it's not enough that they just don't succeed. It's not enough that they just try to create the truth ministry, that they try to create a censorship board in America and they just don't succeed. And it's like, good luck next time. No, they should be punished. They should be punished for attempted tyranny. That's my take on that, because now we see these people haven't gone away and now they're going to be in charge of the FISA court. Isn't that wonderful? Meanwhile, House Oversight Panel opens up probe of 764 internet sextortion cult that preys on minors. The powerful House Oversight Committee is investigating the sadistic, nihilistic terror cult known as 764 that preys on minors and coerces them into sex acts, self-harm, animal torture, and other vile actions. House Oversight Committee James Comer and Subcommittee on Federal and Government Reform Land Law Enforcement Chair Clay Higgins demanded Tuesday that the FBI give lawmakers a briefing on its efforts to undermine 764. So very good to see that happening. We, of course, have been on that story since before anybody else was. So it's nice to see the independent reporting of some very brave people come to fruition. Meanwhile, House Senate Majority Leader Thune promises a vote on the SAVE Act voter ID bill. John Thune is ready to put the Senate Democrats to a test on voter ID legislation. The Safeguarding American Voter Eligibility, aka the Save America Act, has earned the backing of 50 Senate Republicans, including Thune, which is enough to break through a key procedural hurdle. So, huzzah. Huzzahs all around for that. Won't that be fun? We'll get to hang a single star on the Republicans board. You did something. But we'll wait. I'm not going to celebrate too early. We'll see how this all plays out. But wouldn't that be something? A single victory will go down in history. And finally, Tehran says understanding on main principles reached. Iran wrapped the Iran talks with America finished in something like 2 hours today, which is not exactly a sign that anything positive happened. However, they are saying that there's an understanding on main principles and that things are moving forward in a positive direction. So that's very unexpected and positive news for you there to close out our daily dispatch. Brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com today. And it's got to be today, because tonight at midnight ends the biggest sale of all time ever. As I'm calling it, we call it the 52% site-wide mega sale, because you're getting 52% off every single item on the store. So if you've ever wanted to try something, now's the time to try it. If you're a fan of the products and want to stock up, now's the time to stock up. And if you just want a hat or a shirt, tomorrow night, it ends tomorrow night. Well, okay, it's been extended. Sorry, I'm just hearing this. I'm sorry, it's been extended. The site-wide mega sale has been extended, so you can get 52% off your order today and tomorrow, but don't wait. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com today. And, of course, it is also your final week to win both the Ford Shelby Mustang GT500 and the Ford F-250 Diesel, two incredible automobiles that we're giving away to one of y'all. Somebody listening to my voice right now that's going to TheAlexJonesStore.com and making a purchase is going to be the one who wins. It's got to be somebody. Might as well be you. You just have to go to TheAlexJonesStore.com, and you get 100 times the entries for every dollar you spend with this special crossover week where you're getting entries to both the cars, not just one or the other. So the sale and the giveaway both end soon. Plus you get $10,000 in cash if you win the car, and you get to feel really good about it. I wish we could win the cars. We get to take the supplements. We don't get to win the cars. That's something that's exclusive to you guys. So enjoy that. I'm kind of jealous. go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And let's get into Jeffrey Epstein, the continuing fallout of Jeffrey Epstein, the files that were released a week ago Friday. And the Trump administration is maintaining its position of saying it's a hoax. This is totally inexplicable and continues to be. And more people are speaking out against this. Podcaster Sean Ryan, who was played a big role in the podcast strategy that got Donald Trump elected, says he's done with the Trump administration because of how they're handling the Epstein files. And I think he speaks for a lot of people when you watch this video. Let's go to clip number two now.
I've been pretty quiet about Pam Bondi in front of Congress the other day talking about how the Dow's up to 50,000. Nobody gives a f- because what you should be talking about is how you are going to investigate and prosecute any pedophiles that were running around on Epstein Island that you're affiliated with. But we didn't talk about that, did we? Oh, and what's the excuse? What was the excuse? Oh, if we prosecute everybody, the whole system would go down. Well, you know what that sounds like? You know what that sounds like? That sounds like how Trump ran his campaign. Let's drain the swamp. Doesn't that sound a lot like draining the swamp? It actually is drain the swamp served up to you on a silver platter. But you're not going to take it, are you? You're going to protect pedophiles. You're going to protect pedophiles rather than go after them and hope that everybody's happy that the Dow hit 50,000. Are you out of your mind? I guess the whole drain the swamp campaign promise was another bullshit lie, huh? Man, the lies are stacking up fast. I've never seen so many lies appear in, what, a year? It's only been a year. Look at all the lies. You know, I wanted to talk to you about something else, too. Then you got Pam Bondi and what's that other guy's name? Todd Blanche. Yeah, running around giving Ro Khanna and Massey all this shit because they accidentally put two names that are apparently innocent out that were in the Epstein files. Well, I got news for you. You know, you have two guys that are in Congress that are actually doing shit, and you give them shit because they made a mistake when they're trying to do the job of the entire Department of Justice, because nobody over there will do their job when it comes to putting pedophiles away in prison. So you give them because two people are trying to do the job of the entire Department of Justice. F you. And here's another thing I'm getting tired of is seeing all these politicians, congressmen, senators talking about all the that they saw in the unredacted files. And then you know what they do? They go right to X and they post about it and tell us all how shocked we would be of what's in those files. Guess what, congressmen? Guess what, senators? There's the speech and debate clause that says you cannot be sued for anything you say on the House floor. So here's a tip. Get to work. Permission granted. Oh, and one last thing. I saw this pop up the other day. Obama goes on some random podcast that nobody's ever heard of and just happens to drop, oh, aliens are real. Yeah, tell me that shit's not orchestrated. Right in the middle of the biggest pedophile ring exposed in the world, all of a sudden, we're gonna drop that aliens are real. You, mother, you, aliens, off.
I think he speaks for a lot of people. I think he speaks for a hell of a lot of people. I know he certainly speaks for me. I'll tell you, the biggest downside to this job and this show right here is we're on the radio and I can't curse. It deserves it. The situation deserves my full four-letter vocabulary of wrath. It's very hard not to curse like a sailor when you're talking about this stuff. So in that way, he definitely speaks for me. Marjorie Taylor Greene has also come out about this, gave a interview yesterday, really holding no, pulling no punches, holding nothing back. Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene on why the Epstein files are causing such a ruckus. Let's watch. Clip one.
What I am 100% for is pulling the left and the right, the American people, pulling us back together. That's the America I love. This was before I got involved in politics. I was friends with everybody. We all were. It, you know, politics did not reign over our family get-togethers, our social events, the freaking Super Bowl, concerts. My God, everything. We had life and it was so fun. Oh my gosh, we had so much fun. I want to go back to the days of the government can be seen, but not heard. Not heard. I don't want to hear a fucking thing you say. Shut up. Like, I want that. Now, what does it look like policy-wise? I'm one of those got to get in the granular details and like read the actual legislation or the policy description and analyze, you know, well, how does that affect us? Can we actually afford that? We're $40 trillion in debt and we're 7 years away from Social Security being insolvent. Like these are major problems. So like for as far as like the economic policies, I'd have to get more into to understand. But I think that what I want to see is I just love people. I love all the people. I don't care what group they are. I don't care their race. I don't care whatever their sexual this. I don't care about their religion. I just think that people are so great that we need to pull ourselves together and we have to hold our government accountable. That's what our founding fathers told us to do. Like it's a mandate. Hold your government accountable. And we have lost ourselves. Yeah. We have totally lost ourselves and been easily lulled and distracted into a world where we're just too busy or we're just too, I don't know. The American people have lost our identity. We come from our ancestors are the same people that took down the most powerful king on the planet simply because they were pissed off about 3% taxes on their tea. Like, they were badasses. Why can't, like, let's get back to that kind of thinking, you know? Okay, we've got our government's a bunch of pedophiles, and they're all in it together, and they're eating children. Like, hold on. And our taxes are way past 3%. Like, we should be really, really mad. Really, really mad. And so I'm interested in, like, let's pull a movement together across the country that says enough.
They're eating children. That may be a new version of that comparison. You often hear like, you know, our forefathers rioted over 3% tax and here we are paying 50% of our tax, not doing anything about it. It's even different when you're like, they revolted over a 3% tax. Here we are paying 60% of our money to pedophiles who eat people, who eat babies, and get off on it. That's the worst. I can't believe we're in this situation, but here we are. Luckily, these Epstein files are not a flash in the pan. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. And I'm happy to see this. I was a little worried at first. It was so overwhelming, everything in the Epstein files. And again, I just kept looking at the UK being like, that's what should be happening here. And it wasn't happening here, but it's building. This is a slow burn kind of thing, I think, because maybe people in power, people in the Epstein list think that they can just sort of, you know, shelter down and bear this one out. It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. It's not going away. People are only finding out more and more about this, getting angrier and angrier and demanding answers to at a louder and louder volume. So they need to handle this. Trump administration needs to get on the forefront of this and sooner rather than later. But of course, Zorro Ranch is a location of extreme interest to anybody studying Jeffrey Epstein, as it was the place where he was performing a lot of his more disturbing science experiments. Parts of Epstein's emails hint that there are perhaps bodies buried at Zorro Ranch. And the New Mexico local government has now launched a $2.5 million investigation into the property, We can go to clip number 5 here. New Mexico lawmakers launched this investigation into Epstein's Zorro Ranch following allegations that severe crimes were committed there. Let's watch.
We found that there was a very disturbing allegation that came out that could be linked potentially to state land. Mm-hmm. Because I am the manager of that land, I'm the elected steward of that land, what occurs there and what the land is used for is of utmost interest and importance to us at the state land office. To our knowledge, there has not been any investigation of the state land or the Zorro Ranch.
Do you have any way of knowing what this land was used for?
From our reading of the historic documents, what it seems like is like the state land was used almost as a buffer, a shield, to hide what activity was occurring on the ranch.
To insulate the ranch.
Absolutely. Insulate visibility to what was occurring there.
Are you concerned that this public land might actually be a potential crime scene here? I mean, is that what we're talking about?
Absolutely. If state land was used for criminal activity, that is definitely something New Mexicans need to know. That is something, those are answers that victims and survivors need to have.
What does your authority look like over these lands?
So I have the authority, obviously, to cancel the leases mm-hmm. and make sure that any party associated with Jeffrey Epstein was removed from the property. Unfortunately, we do not have law enforcement capability here at the state land office. So we are looking to partner with other agencies that do have that capacity to be able to investigate the land.
Do you think there are interested partners out there for you in law enforcement?
Yeah, so we have already started to receive some phone calls from folks who are willing to partner with us.
Is there capability in New Mexico to get the technology that helps you look for these unmarked graves?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's ground penetrating radar. There are what they call cadaver dogs that basically are able to detect whether or not there are burials in the area, yes.
How big is this land when we're talking about it? I mean, is this something that is doable for an investigation?
It is fairly large. It is fairly large. And we don't have, I mean, the only clue we have so far, and again, this goes back to the substantiation of the allegation, it is a phrase that basically says the hills behind Zorro Ranch. Well, the hills behind Zorro Ranch is state land. And so we are looking to probably target and spotlight that particular area to begin with.
You're hoping that the New Mexico DOJ or the federal government is going to get involved, and if not, you plan to work with some state partners to do so.
Correct.
So you feel like this is going to be an investigation one way or another?
I will keep pushing until it is. I mean, that's essentially what I'm saying. I think we have all seen that the reason that we are in, that we are where we are with this case is that people did not raise the alarm earlier. People did not push earlier, did not ask questions. So now is the time to do that. I mean, it is kind of late, but I think it's better now than not ever.
And Del, the state's commissioner, she told me that she reached out to the state's attorney general in 2019, but nothing was ever investigated. Zorro Ranch has also never been searched. And so there are a lot of questions surrounding what went on in New Mexico.
So we'll see. We'll see what comes of this. Remember, there's no statute of limitations on murder. So if they find a body, that will instigate an investigation, which could lead to some very interesting directions. We'll cover more of this on the other side. We'll be right back. I'm going to get back into Zorro Ranch. We'll also be getting into Zorro Ranch with our guests, but there's a lot more creepiness under the sands of the New Mexico desert. Stay with us, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, everything we've talked about to a T is being vindicated right now. So we can obsess over the Epstein files, or is Trump covering up, or isn't he, or you know, what's Todd Blanche doing, any of that.
Men that abuse these girls, and what does that mean?
But at the end of the day, it's 99% Democrats in there. It's the European elite. They're the ones that basically wrote the book on this crap. It's all coming out, and we the people, the populist Christians of the world, have been vindicated in spades. And that's why we've been attacked so much. So remember, regardless of what happens with different political leaders, different populists, whether it's Orban, or whether it's Le Pen in France, or whether it's Donald Trump here, regardless, We the people of the West of America, Christendom, will continue to promote freedom and liberty and justice in the American way and expose evil. And at the tip of the spear in that fight is InfoWars. But regardless of what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesStore.com is owned by Bigley, and they have set up the Alex Jones Network as our backup that is absolutely critical. And they have launched the biggest sale of the year that runs until just next Monday. So I'm saying this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. And I'll air this later again as an ad, so you'll be seeing it later. That means you've only got 6 days to take advantage of this massive sale. Listen to this. We've got multiple bundles on the side of our best-selling products. Limited time till next Monday at midnight. And your support keeps us on the air. This is an amazing value. Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle. Repair the gut, power the brain, the heart, everything. Bundle price, $99. Normal value, $209. Savings over 50% off. Includes bovine colostrum, the top. Private label, so incredible for your body, your skin, your hair, everything. Methylene blue tincture, we've got the best. Total game changer. You've seen the guests take it live on air. Even methylene blue fans say we've got the best. Methylene red is our proprietary system that doesn't have a bunch of methylene blue in it. It's got all these other supercharged nutrients that supercharge methylene blue, but also do a great job for your stamina, libido, energy outside of that. So if you love methylene blue, the methylene red, it's back in stock. All three of those together in a bundle at over 50% off. Then we have the Modern World Survival Stack. Rebuild, reload, defend. The bundle, $89. Normally $184. Over 50% off. Built to support the body, the toxic nutrient depleted modern world. Energy, stamina, focus, everything. Shilajit Complex, the best Shilajit gummies, capsules, you choose. CMOS capsules, incredible. Very strong, concentrated Irish CMOS. Natural iodine, 93 trace vitamins and minerals, incredible supercharger. You want this right now. Incredible for your thyroid, immune health, metabolic balance, your heart. And then Atomic Defense is the horse pill of horse pills of all the known concentrated natural detox super nutrients to detox of heavy metals, environmental toxins, and supercharge your body and gut health. Get it all right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com and be the reason we will always be on the air one way or another. But you love sales. This one is over. I think it comes at like 57% off or something. This is over 50% off. It's running till next Monday. So I'm cutting this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. So what is Monday? Okay. You got like 6 days to take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank all you that have gotten the products and all you that have been VIPs. You get huge discounts if you do that and $40 from the store instantly every month. But for everybody else on the fence, you're missing out. You think our info is powerful? Well, this is even more powerful. Get it now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. We'll be joined by our guest, Patrick Wood, in the next hour. We're going to keep talking about Jeffrey Epstein, old Jeffrey Epstein. More very disturbing information has come out, been discovered in the tranche of files that was released a week ago Saturday. And some of what has been released is some very disturbing rumors about what went on at Zorro Ranch, New Mexico, to probe at Jeffrey Epstein's Zorro Ranch activities. The legislation created a special committee that will be investigating this, and we look forward to whatever comes of it. Now, interestingly, maybe suspiciously, we don't know, Texas comptroller candidate Don Huffines owns Zorro Ranch now. From Fox 4, the Dallas affiliate, Texas comptroller candidate Don Huffines faces heat over purchase of Epstein estate as early voting begins. Don Huffines, a former Texas state senator and current comptroller candidate, confirmed that his family purchased Jeffrey Epstein's former New Mexico Zorro Ranch at a 2023 public auction, with proceeds reportedly aiding Epstein's victims. A spokesperson for Huffines emphasized the family had no prior connection to Epstein or the property and stated they would offer, quote, full and complete cooperation to law enforcement, although no agencies have requested access to date. The purchase comes at the same time as New Mexico House resolution alleging the ranch was a, quote, instrumentality of serious criminal activity that went uninvestigated for years, raised concerns about public safety and government accountability. So I like Don Huffines. I've met him in person a few times. Met him at Ron Paul's birthday party. I like his politics. I'm not actually that suspicious of the guy, but owning Zorro Ranch is not the best look, I have to admit. And I'd say really the only thing to do for anybody even tangentially remotely connected to Jeffrey Epstein, it's not a negative or a positive necessarily. I mean, if you're in the emails talking about eating children, okay, that's going to be a negative no matter how you try to spin it. But if you're Don Huffines, my advice would be come out and go, hey, get a film crew and go show them around Zorro Ranch and go, you know, whoever wants to check this out, and we're launching an investigation. I just put down $500,000 to hire, you know, an excavator to come out here and search for stuff. You gotta get in on this. This is the same thing with Donald Trump and a lot of other people. Maybe they're like still stuck in an old media landscape mindset where they're just scared of like being associated with the scandal at all. But this is an opportunity for anybody like this, anybody like Don Huffines. People are going to be suspicious of you. People are going to think you're in on it. There's no way to like weather this storm and just go, oh, let's just, you know, this will blow over. No, this is going to be like stuck to your name forever unless you come out right out in front and go, I got nothing to hide. Come investigate. Let's see what we got going here. I mean, maybe it's easier said than done because at the end of the day, if you own a property, you don't want dead bodies found on that property no matter what. I mean, you're the owner now. That would be a little bit tricky there. But if I was Huffines, I would just seize the bull by the horn and go, yeah, we bought the property. You know, the money went to the survivors of his, you know, whatever. And we thought that would be at least some positive outcome from all of this. And it's, you know, it's a beautiful property. Like, there's nothing wrong about the property. And if there's anything bad going on, we want to be the ones to find it. We don't want a bunch of ghosts running around. So I think they should come out ahead of this or on top of this and just say, yeah, come check it out. Let's do it. And that appears to be what the attack they're taking. So that's good to see. But I was very surprised to see Don Huffines' name related to this stuff because everything I've seen from him seems like a decent guy, good guy. But we'll see. Now, we have some updates to some actual consequences in America from Gen X Girl 1994 on X. These are the forced resignations in the U.S. due to the Epstein files to date. Tom Pritzker, Hyatt Hotels executive chairman and billionaire, retired or stepped down from his role of the board in mid-February 2026, citing poor judgment in maintaining contact with Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. And just remember, it wasn't poor judgment. They just got caught. Okay. He didn't resign before he got caught about his poor judgment. He got caught, and now he's resigning. That's the series of events. And this isn't about poor judgment on his part. He got caught. Now he's trying to mitigate the consequences. And that goes for all these people, okay? Kathy Rumler, former Obama White House counsel, resigned as chief legal officer and general counsel of Goldman Sachs, effective June 30th, 2026, after emails showed her correspondence with Epstein, including downplaying his crimes and receiving gifts. Brad Karp resigned as chairman of the major U.S. law firm Paul Weiss, effective immediately in early February 2026, due to emails and news coverage of his exchange with Epstein. He also stepped down from his alma mater's board. David A. Ross, former Whitney Museum director, resigned as chair of the MFA art practice program at the School of Visual Arts in New York after emails revealed friendly post-conviction correspondence. Peter Attia is a physician and longevity expert, stepped down as chief science officer of David Protein and as advisor to 8 Sleep after emails involving his health advice to Epstein with crude remarks. He, however, is still somehow being paid as like a contributor to CBS News for some reason. That's kind of weird. And then you have Larry Summers, former U.S. Treasury Secretary, who resigned from the OpenAI board in late 2025 and took a leave from Harvard teaching amid investigations tied to earlier mentions, some overlap with 2026 coverage. So very minor resignations here. People are sort of being allowed to withdraw from the spotlight. I think they should be investigated and possibly sent to prison, but resignation is a good place to start. Now, here's a very disturbing thing that's been discovered in the Epstein files. You tell me if you have a different interpretation of this. Phantom Shadow posted it on X, and it's a correspondence between, I assume, Jeffrey Epstein and Steve Bannon, in fact. And it says, I like the idea of Pence stepping down in favor of Pompeo so that when it happens, he becomes president. I'd rather have Pompeo as vice president so when it happens, Pompeo becomes president. Using context clues, I'm going to assume what they mean is the assassination of Donald Trump. I assume what they're saying is we better have Pompeo as vice president so when it happens, when the assassination of Donald Trump takes place, Pompeo will be the vice president. And Steve Bannon responds, has that idea been shopped? And the reply is, we have much to discuss, no rush. So were they planning an assassination on Donald Trump? That's certainly the message I'm getting. And let's just remember that last year, according to Max Blumenthal of The Gray Zone, during an interview he did with Tim Dillon, which I guess is the only place he's talked about this because I haven't been able to find an article written about it or anything. But according to Max Blumenthal, it was discovered that Israel had planted tracking devices near the White House in general, but specifically on the ambulance, the Secret Service ambulance that would be the emergency response vehicle that would respond to any assassination attempt. So it was in September of last year that he revealed that, and you got to wonder, what would be the purpose of wanting to track an ambulance whose only reason for existing is to be the transport of the president following an accident or an assassination attempt? The reason you want to track them, that is to finish the job, as far as I'm concerned. So very disturbing stuff, again, from the Epstein files. More and more is coming out. 60 victims, Epstein ties, and a judge blocking file releases, the trial no one is covering. This is from Mario Nofal on X. Three brothers, Oren, Alan, and Tal Alexander, are currently on trial in Manhattan federal court on sex trafficking charges that carry up to life in prison. Prosecutors have reportedly spoken to over 60 individuals who allege they were drugged and raped by at least one of the brothers. The Alexander brothers, described as prominent ultra-luxury real estate figures with Israeli-American ties, were indicted by the SDNY in December 2024. A superseding indictment filed in May 2025 allegedly added sex trafficking of a minor count, including a victim reportedly as young as 16. Additional state charges were filed separately in Miami-Dade County. Where it gets even more interesting is the Epstein connection. On February 2nd, 2026, Judge Valerie Comproni issued an order barring the DOJ from releasing any Epstein-filed material that references the defendants until after the verdict is reached. Court reporting indicates the brothers' names allegedly appeared in a six-page spreadsheet of Epstein-related tips, which the government reportedly described as an inadvertent release. This is a federal sex trafficking trial involving allegations from dozens of victims, possible ties to the Epstein network, and a judge actively suppressing related file releases mid-trial. Despite all of that, the coverage has been minimal compared to the scale of what's being alleged in the courtroom. They're expecting this to just, quietly happen in the background, but not if we have anything to say about it. And I wonder how many other trials going on have judges reaching out to the DOJ saying, you better not release this particular document because it could mess up this trial that we're doing, by convicting the guilty party. David Dayan at ddayan on X says this, guys, I found the best Epstein files email, the one that illuminates an elite class that's cocooned themselves into an unaccountable shell of wealth and privilege, fighting to protect their secrets and offenses. I could write a novel about it. Here it is. And it's a note from Kathy Rumler. And this printout isn't quite good enough to read, if you guys can pull it up on the screen. But Kathy Rumler is all over this, and she, of course, is a major Democrat operative who was a very high-up person under the Obama White House and is involved in a lot of this stuff and is sort of getting off easy right now. Again, we have these stories from previously Israel accused of planting mysterious spy devices near White House. So here it is. Yes, and EW is the worst. So he says, I'm working on a PR strategy for MJ White versus Elizabeth Warren. I know I told him there's finally joy in Mudville. I'm telling you, there's honestly not enough time to get into all these emails. We just gotta keep going through them because they're crazy. But that was from Kathy Rumler, and it's about how she was helping to cover up for Jeffrey Epstein, how she was helping him to manage the scandal when it all came out. Strange silence from Obama about his top lawyer slash fixer, Kathleen Rumler, and the Epstein revelations. What did he know and when did he know it? Obama's lawyer slash fixer, Kathleen Rumler, emailed with Epstein over 11,000 times. Why silence from Obama, who, as Epstein wrote, quote, loves Kathy? So, again, it is honestly the strangest thing. They're all Democrats. Jeffrey Epstein himself visited the Bill Clinton White House dozens of times. Apparently, the person he corresponded with more than practically anybody else, Kathy Rumler, was the chief of staff, top lawyer, and fixer of Barack Obama. They're absolutely throughout all of this. It goes on. Which one's this one? I mean, there's admission of crimes that are really stuff I don't even want to talk about on air. And it's everything you're imagining. It's all of the sex trafficking, human trafficking. Seems a lot like cannibalism, all that sort of stuff. Just more and more is coming out. And more people are finding out, you know, who are the blocked out names. Because really the big takeaway here is that these redactions almost entirely are there to protect powerful, guilty people. Like, that's not gonna work because we're finding out who these people are and you have to punish them now. Pam Bondi, apparently, is from Red Pill Bot on X. Pam Bondi redacted Robert Trivers' name from this disgusting email from the Epstein files. Quote, the key are 14 and 15-year-old girls. I am a sexual pervert because I say they are now of reproductive age. And that's the accusation. The link in the article, the Reuters. Okay. I mean, our whole country is just replete with these people. Wait till it happens. So again, with Steve Bannon plotting an assassination against Donald Trump, it kind of seems like that. Here again is Kathy Rumler sharing more thoughts with Epstein over her cover up letter on October 17th, 2014. Needless to say, this matter is strictly confidential and was at the moment the biggest scandal rocking the Obama White House. So again, corresponding, coordinating PR strategy with Jeffrey Epstein. Just goes on and on. I do, and there's a couple other things. There's also apparently stories. New Epstein emails reveal how Epstein, Barack, and Thiel plotted Assad's overthrow, arming ISIS and Jelani's HTC to turn Syria into chaos. Other people are showing things like Jeffrey Epstein getting reports from the UN. And in fact, this is probably a good time to go to the video of Tucker Carlson that Tucker Carlson put out because he hit the nail on the head. And this has been our stance the whole time too. Is that, yes, he's working for the CIA. Yes, he's working for Mossad. Yes, he's probably working for MI6 and a number of other intelligence agencies. But he's not working for any of them at the same time. That there is a supranational organization structure that manages the national governments and operates through the national governments when convenient and necessary, but also acts completely independent of those national power structures. So let's go to clip number 6 here. This is Tucker Carlson connecting the dots and talking about the unelected supranational shadow global government. Let's watch.
Jeffrey Epstein, who writes like a child, who displays at no point signs of brilliance.
And yet so well connected.
He knew everybody.
Yeah.
In every country. He's shorting the global financial crisis. He's discussing the fall of Gaddafi in Libya before it happens. Trying to figure out how to profit from that.
Totally plugged in.
Like, at a level that, you know, as someone who just, like, covers government, I feel like I know plugged in people. Never met anyone that plugged in.
Yeah.
So what is this? He represents no government. He clearly works for Mossad. Clearly works for CIA. Is in contact with both. clearly British intelligence. So he's not working for Israel. He's not working for the United States. He's not working for the UK exclusively. He's not working for anybody, really. He's kind of this independent power broker working with a series of other independent power brokers together who form some kind of supra government above all representative government in the West. So, like, what is that?
Yep. Yeah, no, that's how it works. That's exactly how it works. I mean, it's obvious in a way. It has to be how it works. How do you have continuity through, you know, 10 different presidential campaigns, for, you know, administrations? How do you go from Democrat to Republican to Democrat to Republican, and yet our foreign policy stays consistent? I mean, we've seen it with Trump. What happened with Ukraine? He tried to change the direction that NATO was taking with Ukraine, and they impeached him over it. And he's not the one that is deciding things at the end of the day. And in a way, it only makes sense. Of course you're going to have titans like this that cannot be expelled electorally, don't have to justify their position or their policies or anything of the sort. Tucker Carlson thinks he was murdered in jail. Yeah, you know, maybe he was. Maybe he was. I doubt it, though. I seriously doubt it. This is where things get even weirder, folks. And again, people, you know, the main thing about this is exactly what Tucker Carlson just laid out, that there is a unelected supranational government, and call it whatever you want, that's how it acts. And the implications of that, and who these people are, and what's motivating them, and the consequences of the choices that they make, like, all of this is extremely important. But I see a lot of people online basically saying that anything else is a distraction. Forget about the Satanism stuff. That's all, like, overblown. That's all a trick. I actually see people saying that it's somehow going into some sort of Russian talking point, because Russia is always calling the West satanic. It's like, you're spreading Dugin's propaganda. It's like, no, all of this is satanic. Anybody who says that is just correct. We're not, you know, taking talking points from one another. Just like, I don't need Alexander Dugin to tell me the sky is blue. Like, all this stuff is satanic. And it is. And it's beyond satanic. It's like worse than you can imagine. And I don't even know what to make of this one. This is from Zero Hedge. They reached out to Katie Couric, saying, can you remind the world what your cloning conversation with Jeffrey Epstein and Prince Andrew was about? This is a conversation between a man named Richard and Jeffrey Epstein. Richard says cephalopelvic disproportion is what impedes brain development. It's a good thing Katie Couric isn't here. Jeffrey Epstein says, correct. Richard says, I had images that the clones on channel whatever. Jeffrey says, she didn't like that very much. Richard, she wasn't here for the no arms. Jeffrey, right. Katie Couric was here and we were talking about, I want to start cloning things, comma, me. And with certain people, Prince Andrew got upset because he was all, if it had a conscience, could you kill it for spare parts? And I said, I'll make it without a head. Would that make you feel better? And Katie Couric, I thought, was going to start to vomit. Okay, so this is exactly what Alex spent like an entire show on last week, which is this idea of raising clones to be organ donors for the human body. And he's literally talking about we can make clones, but then alter the DNA so the clone doesn't have a head or a brain. So you don't have to worry about it being conscious before you kill it, because they're raising clones for quote unquote spare parts. The other guy says she wasn't here for the no arms. She wasn't here for the no arms. I think what he's saying is she wasn't here for the time that we showed off the clone that didn't have arms. That's what it sounds like to me. So yes, the high level spy stuff, very important. The international cooperation, definitely an important part of the Jeffrey Epstein files. The inhuman cloning programs, the vampirism, the literal satanic worship, also a big part of this, should not be downplayed or ignored. these people were beyond satanic. And this is one that I'm not particularly surprised at, but if you've ever heard of this before, a long time ago, probably 10 years ago, there was a Vice documentary that talked about this plant. It was a drug that was being used in Colombia, and they called it something like Devil's Leaf or something like that. And it sounded magical, like a sci-fi thing. And that was sort of all I ever heard about it. I remember this like documentary, I think it was from Vice, that talked about it, or at least talked about it in a Vice documentary. I remember looking it up and being like, holy crap, this is real. And I haven't really heard much about it since, until this article. Jeffrey Epstein emails refer to toxic zombie drug plants that he kept. So there's this plant that if you ingest it, and I believe it's like a nasal thing, like, you know, if you snort this powder, you lose your free will and you do whatever anybody tells you to do. It's this crazy plant. Yeah, there it is. You can't react. You just do whatever you're told. You just, if somebody says throw yourself off a cliff, you just do it and you don't think about it. You lose all self-preservation. You lose all consciousness, but you're awake and able to act. But they can get you to do whatever they want. And apparently Jeffrey Epstein was growing this stuff. In one of the uncovered messages, Epstein sends an email asking about his, quote, trumpet plants at nursery. Angel's trumpet plants are extremely toxic and produce a drug called scopolamine. Crew is yelling in my ear. Scopolamine, which is known to basically turn humans into zombies, wiping them of memory and eliminating their free will. Severe intoxication reportedly may even cause paralysis and death. Even more alarming, scopolamine reportedly doesn't show up on toxicology reports. So you really got to wonder if they were, A, using this stuff and what they've been able to derive from it. I mean, if you have some sort of like ancient, you know, Native American peyote-like drug that's like, yeah, it makes people into zombies. Okay, what happens when you take that into a lab and you extract the molecule that causes that and you can tweak it or manipulate it into, you know, particulars? Is there a way that you can make them only like half free will, to where they're mostly free will, but they always obey certain orders? Like, imagine what you could do with that substance as a base and what you could derive from it and what that would do in the hands of an international pedophile sex trafficker. That'd be very helpful. Patrick Wood joins me on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. Your support keeps us on air, and I thank you so much, and I want to give back to you. For those on the fence, I want you to experience ultramethylene blue, ultramethylene red, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, our bovine colostrum. It's a private label, the top brand in the country, 2,000 milligrams per little scoop. So good for your skin, your hair, your eyes, your whole body. The first 2 weeks of milk that comes off a cow or any other mammal is incredible. And this is the final week. This only happens every few months, where you don't just, every time you make a purchase, get put in one time in the raffle for whatever cool American-made supercar they're having, off-road, Mustangs, you name it. You get put in 100x into the raffle, which they've never done before, in this week. And you get put in to win both vehicles, both the F-250 diesel and the Ford Mustang Shelby. That is a huge deal, and $20,000 cash. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now. We'll be right back.
John Black, the billionaire co-founder of Apollo Global Management, has long been tied to the Jeffrey Epstein scandal through massive payments and a close association that he himself has called a horrible mistake. Yet he shelled out $62.5 million in 2023 to the U.S. Virgin Islands to settle and avoid any potential claims tied to Epstein's operations there, where some of those funds indirectly supported Epstein's island empire.
The headline should be Leon Black paid Jeffrey Epstein $158 million for services over 5 years as like a tax advisor. This is a story of a U.S. billionaire paying a convicted sex offender hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, with the lending, it brings him $200 million into Jeffrey Epstein. And the report found that he visited Epstein's home in New York multiple times and his other homes around the world as well. In order to, like, what, cut his tax bill by $1 or $2 billion, which even that strikes me as concerning.
The leaked document from the Epstein files from 2026 DOJ releases consists of heavily redacted attorney notes from a May 2023 call. Multiple women accused Black of violent rape, often under the guise of massages. One described 7 to 8 years of sadistic abuse, including vaginal biting, causing excruciating pain and bleeding. Another claimed a brutal assault with head slamming. A third, a developmentally disabled 16-year-old girl with autism and mosaic Down syndrome, alleged trafficking by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, forced to massage Black naked, then violently raped, causing severe rectal and vaginal injuries. Of course, Black has vehemently denied all involvement, calling the accusations baseless, uncorroborated, insisting he's never met certain accusers. And now the outrage is exploding nationwide because LifeTouch, the company behind school pictures for countless American kids across the country, is owned by Shutterfly, which Apollo Global Management controls through its funds.
The rumors have caused concern among parents around the country.
No one really thought anything of it until we started thinking about, okay, wait, who actually is seeing these pictures instead of just the parents?
LifeTouch, too, has responded, releasing a statement which reads in part, LifeTouch is not named in the Epstein files. The documents contain no allegations that LifeTouch itself was involved in or that student photos were used in any illicit activities.
You want to know who owns those photos, and that's typically done by contract, and what can be done with the photos later between you and the photographer.
Stephen Clark is a South Bay-based attorney. He says it's important to read the fine print on consent forms for things like school photo shoots. Tech expert Ahmed Banafa agrees, especially given the chance of a data breach.
About 5 million pictures being sold on the dark web in 2023.
Meanwhile, in the latest torrent of Epstein documents, Woody Allen and Jess Staley emerge as another grotesque thread in the financier's web of influence. Allen pops up repeatedly in scheduling logs and emails, with Epstein even paying $15,000 for their kids' elite private school tuition. Emails between Woody Allen and Epstein reveal a conversation about cannibalism. Epstein says he didn't just cause heartburn, he ate them. Epstein says hearts. Then Allen says thanks. Allen says, at least I'm thinner. Epstein says, because you also eat the bones, providing fiber. Allen says, I don't like waste. Staley, the former J.P. Morgan rainmaker turned Barclays CEO, exchanged over 1,000 emails, some laced with creepy Disney princess references and young women's photos.
And so the New World Order is in deep trouble. They're basically done. And we should focus on the files we're suppressing. We should focus on the cover-up, but also focus on what we got.
A financial kingpin, a predator banker, and a legendary filmmaker, all orbiting the same twisted world of Jeffrey Epstein. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Now, Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We send it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
Enter a world stranger than you have ever imagined. The world of witchcraft, magic, and ritual.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This
You're
is the War Room.
To the War Room with your host,
I got excited.
Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. There we go. I got too excited. Being joined by my guests, Patrick Wood and Courtney Turner. Their new book, The Final Betrayal, A Cautionary Tale, How Technocracy Destroyed America. Patrick Wood is an author and lecturer who studied elite globalization since the 1970s. Courtney Turner is, of course, an investigative journalist and researcher who cracked the code of technocracy and its total betrayal of the citizens of our nation. Technocracy is the name of the game. Welcome to the show, y'all.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
So tell us about the book, The Final Betrayal, A Cautionary Tale, How Technocracy Destroyed America. What made you want to focus on this topic in particular?
We focused on this in particular because we saw the lack of broken promises after this last election. What happened in January, February, and so on last year was a total betrayal of the American people. They never saw it coming at all. And there was no expectation that arch technocrats would take over Washington, D.C. in the first place. But this is exactly what's happened.
Yeah.
So here we are, more than a year away from that now, and it's just getting stronger and stronger and stronger, this technocratic takeover.
Yeah. And how do you define technocracy? Because there's sort of two ways it's used, right? One way, it's actually kind of okay. You know, it's like, all right, these are just – they want experts to come in to do something. You know, it has its place maybe in like the rebuilding of a country after war. It's like, we don't need politics here. We just need people who can get the water running and this sort of stuff. That's not really what you mean when you say technocracy, though, is it?
Technocracy dates back to 1932 at
right.
Columbia University. It was an ideology. It was basically a reinvention of economics. And in fact, there's never been another attempt in history to create an economic system from scratch.
Mm.
But they did. And this ideology has morphed several times along the way. But now we see it's taken on like a new life form, if you will. And it's definitely anti-freedom, anti-democratic, anti-political systems. It's anti-human, you know,
right.
Any way you look at it.
And the Technocrat magazine, 1937, defined technocracy as the science of social engineering.
That's what they led with, yeah.
Yeah. So you can see how all the propaganda kind of feeds into what we're up against now.
Yeah, and how we got to where we are now. And this book is absolutely full of references, but it's also very up to date. Like, you have some pretty, like, breaking stuff in here. So
in real time, we were like back and forth, like, this is happening right now. So seriously, we don't know the outcome, but should we include it? Because it's happening right now and it has major implications for the future. So
yeah, that's got to be difficult. I was going to say, because I've had fantasies about writing books, but I can never even land on something because it takes so much time to do it. It's like, is this even going to be relevant by the time it's out? So so y'all are, again, there's stuff, the big, beautiful bill. I mean, there's stuff from this year in this book. How'd y'all do that?
We coordinated. That's all I can say. I'm in Arizona. She's in Tennessee. Somehow we did it, and we had Zoom calls and conferences and discussion.
We were just like trying to figure out what they were doing in real time. So it was just constantly trying to keep up with all the bills, the executive orders that seemed like an avalanche as they were rolling out, you know, and all of the various policies that they were trying to implement and see what was actually being passed and where we were at and where it might go. What are the ramifications of these things that are being passed?
So what is Trump's role in this? Because it's, I can't quite figure out if he's being used, if he's using them, because you have a lot of these tech bros that were Democrats all their lives. They came over to Trump in 24. But now they seem like he's, you know, the tail's wagging the dog. What do you think Trump's role in this is? Conscious, unconscious? Like,
you know, everybody asks that question.
Yeah. We talk about it a lot.
I know. At first blush, I want to say it's not political. For one, this is not about politics at all. It's always been about economics.
Right.
All from day one has been an economic issue. Politics play into it because we have a political system. That's a fact, right? So they have to operate within that political system until
it's useful.
We can destroy
it.
Right.
In the end. So Trump is apparently, he's a willing participant at this point, and he signed every EO that they wanted to get in place, every legislation they wanted to get in place. So, you know, he can't say, well, he just was ignorant or he had bad people around him.
Right.
Well, he chose all these people in the first place. With the assistance of people like Mark Andreessen, for instance,
right,
was at the table when Trump was selecting all these arch technocrats in the first place, an unofficial advisor to the president, right?
Before the possibly Peter Thiel, another unofficial advisor.
Yeah.
I think the thing that, you know, we try to stress to people is that because people are always looking for somebody to pin all the blame, and certainly this is not to exonerate Trump because he signed these executive orders, he's passing the one big beautiful bill, you know, so he's very much involved and leading the ship. But I think this plan was long in place, you know, long before him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as he was saying, they will align with whatever system is expedient for them.
Right.
But they don't personally, technocrats don't have a political allegiance. So it's not about, you know, Trump himself or Trump or as a Republican.
Right.
Or it's more about how can they execute the plans that have been in the works for a century.
Yeah.
And get that underway.
And it seems almost like politics is inconvenient to them, and they've just decided to. It just sort of connects to a lot of other stuff that we talk about, how, you know, the government has restrictions on it about search and seizure, but when all of your information is stored on the server at Amazon, they don't have any qualms about handing your stuff away. So they found that by, you know, using these corporations, it's an easy workaround to restrictions of the government. And at this point, I mean, there are corporations that are bigger than governments. So, you know, there's even talk now of like, what if we give Amazon a seat at the UN and things like this? How's that all play into it, the corporatocracy element?
You know, you see the United Nations now is being sidelined,
right?
If you will.
Yeah.
All of our top officials, Secretary of State, Vice President Vance, and Trump have all dissed the United Nations in one way or another. Trump just executed an EO to take a lot of funding away from the
right.
What's going on then with all this climate change, the sustainable development nonsense? You know, you see, just putting aside, right? Well, at this point, it appears that whole thing is just not relevant to them.
Mm.
At this point, in other words, it accomplished a purpose along the way to get us to the point we are right now.
Right.
Now they say, you know, we don't need this. We're gonna say out with the old and in with the new. And the new world order, the new world order
right.
is upon us. And what will that look like? Well, it's going to look like technocracy.
Right.
Not the what we had before, a constitutional republic with elected officials taking care of business and stuff. It'll be them. The people, these arch technocrats, and they're all billionaires. And
all billionaires.
It's unbelievable. All these people
and trillionaires
are
guiding them. But
Yeah.
But I would also say that, you know, if you look at the UN and the infrastructure of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, People are, the narrative around it was all about climate change.
Right.
Obviously that narrative is not really commensurate with all the massive data centers that they need to build for this AI.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, I mean, Elon's Colossus has already violated the Clean Air Act and they're taking all the drinking water. It has to be fresh drinking water because otherwise it's corrosive and breeds bacteria. There has to be fresh drinking water. So, you know, nothing screams we care about the environment and the people who are going to be, you know, breathing clean air and water than, you know, polluting it.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you look at the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, yes, the narrative that the Club of Rome in their, you know, Global Revolution document in 1992 admitted was basically propaganda and the limits to growth in 1972, they admitted that that was because they needed a common enemy to rally behind. And of course, that enemy is man himself, the enemy of humanity. But now when you look at the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, the propaganda was the climate narrative, but what they're really doing is social impact finance.
Right.
That's really what it's all about. And that is technocracy. That feeds into the global technocracy where when you can create this cybernetic organism and you have all these incentives and, you know, demerits that are operating on a tokenized system, including the human capital, that's where that comes into play. So I think they've shifted the narrative and, you know, you can possibly say something like the Board of Peace is a rebrand for, you know, the UN. But the end goal hasn't changed. It's still, you know, a scientific dictatorship in the end.
Yes, indeed. One aspect of this is, the element of resource accumulation.
Right.
That was evident even back in 1973 when the Trilateral Commission was formed.
Yep.
They were all about resources, resource management, and they had documents on the use of land, for instance, and how they would strip property rights away from people and nation states as well. Well, in a big macro sense, this whole episode has been about resource grab.
Right.
Land. Basically, most of the land in the world already has been absconded one way or another. But, you know, even Howard Lutnick, our Secretary of Commerce, he lusted over the 680 million acres that the United States owns. And he said, oh, if we could just, if even Elon and me could just get our hands on that big asset, and we could make a lot of money. Sorry, it's not your assets in the first place, but this has been the
don't tell them that.
Exactly, I know. But this, if they pull this off, this will be the biggest heist in the history of the world.
Yeah.
It really will be.
And explain that a little bit and how that ties into the cybernetic organism that you're describing and the tokenization. I still don't understand tokenization and I've studied this stuff. People out there have never even heard of it. Maybe start with that about tokenization and how that plays into everything you're describing.
That's right.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, right now we think of you have some sort of equity. I like to use the example of owning property because I think it's really tangible. Most people can relate to it. So right now, you know, it's debatable how much we own it because we do pay property taxes, almost like we lease it from the government, right? You could say that, but most of this country was founded on small business. What do most people do in order to get their loan for small business? They take equity out of their home. So they actually do have some equity in that. And so people feel, you know, they have a sense of ownership. What happens now if we switch over to a tokenized society where you trade out that asset, right? So now the banks are going to have it or, you know, the Black Rocks and Larry Finks and the Harry, you know, Lutnicks are going to have the asset, but we'll be given some sort of token.
Right.
And they'll have, so it becomes like a gamified society where you have tokens and you can play. You know, I use, like for the cultural references, like Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Because I think people can relate to that, you know, where we're on the bikes and we're powering the grid.
Yeah.
So, but it is this idea that people will be incentivized for certain behaviors. They'll be, you know, penalized for others. Of course, we have people like Elon Musk who are talking about a universal higher income. What it really will be is a conditionally based income. And people will be incentivized to give up their assets because they'll be given, you know, these copious tokens. And imagine if you're feeling strangled in with your mortgage and you're in debt and you have this weight hanging over you. Oh, I can get all these tokens. But they don't realize that's really, that's the vehicle to you will own nothing and be happy. And I always say the only way we're going to, you know, be happy is if we come to love our servitude in Huxley's Brave New World.
Exactly.
And looks like with the Epstein files, what was going on there, it really does look like the whole end goal is this AI designer babies, which is literally creating the caste system for Brave New World.
Yep. So 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's Mark of the Beast, social credit score, all mixed into one. And I always, even going back, and I remember watching watching interviews with Bill Gates from the 90s when they were talking about, you know, Microsoft getting bigger and bigger. And even then he was being criticized about, like, that he was a control freak and he just wanted to control everything. And I just got this sense of like, oh, I get it now. He wants humanity to just follow his orders, to just, he wants the world to be like a big computer chip that he can reprogram. And okay, this population needs to go over there. And he doesn't want that population to get all uppity about it, right? He just wants to be able to control people like you would control machines. And that just made everything click for me. So, is that an accurate, like, description of how these people want the world to be? Just they want to be the ones to be able to sort of point and click and move people and things around? And
it's like, this perfect day I live in, you know, the supercomputer. And Chip is like the one who realizes that everything's being controlled. Mm. It's kind of like a precursor to the Truman Show.
Okay.
You know, like he kind of realizes, oh my gosh, like we're being controlled by this supercomputer. But yeah, that's essentially what they're trying to create, like a noospheric hive mind. You know, Tesla predicted that we would have a wireless world brain.
Right.
And of course, we've got many iterations after that. H.G. Wells talked about the world brain. And, you know, interestingly enough, he said that it would be the decentralization of the, you know, the ganglia. He said the information institutions, which were, of course, academia and the media at the time. Now, I would argue, it's information through technology and through social media. And that is the conduit that's feeding into this world brain. And I personally think that once 6G comes on the market, and I think this is why Trump kept making all that noise about 6G. I do think there is an arms race for 6G. But once they have that, this potential for a truly wireless, integrated, connective world brain that could be centralized becomes a reality.
We have two sides of this equation. One is the property itself. Mm-hmm. But when people are dispossessed from their property, they become a management problem.
Right.
Because they're going to be loose over here on, you know, and wanting to get pitchforks and to come after them. This science of social engineering is taking on a new life. So the people have to be controlled at that point. And we see this control system everywhere we look at this point. Whether it's money being digitized, whether it's psychological warfare or psychological manipulation.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It's just, you know, you go here, you consume this. You end up like being a bunch of cattle in a feedlot.
Right.
Where they poke you, they shoot you, they give you rations, and they move you to this corral or that one and whatever.
Yeah, but in a much more sophisticated way, right? Because when you hear control says, that's one of the frustrations. Like, if tyranny isn't, you know, goose-stepping down Main Street, you know, with a symbol on its chest, people are like, well, you know, this isn't tyranny. But, like, no, control systems aren't always cattle prods. And, you know, you're referencing the Aldous Huxley quote, it's like just the most brilliant explanation of all of this, where he says you can do a lot with your spears except for sit on them, right? And you have to have people love their slavery if you want them to be controlled forever with very little effort from you. So it really all goes down to control and the methods of control are not always negative, right? They're, you can control people through positive.
Yeah, exactly.
Positive reinforcement.
Positive reinforcement, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Incentive
Remember
rewards.
The book, Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, that was written in 1932.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The same year that technocracy was at Columbia University.
Right.
So.
And he was tied, and he and his family and his brother were tied in with all those people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, what was Brave New World up? Well, there was no political system for one thing.
Right.
You did what the Alpha Plus said.
Right.
There was no option, right?
Well, and you didn't want to do anything else.
There was no family
units.
There was no, possessing people, if you will, the free love for everybody, and you just
right.
If you got stress out, then you had soma. You have to take soma. In order to, chill.
And
there was no, natural procreation either.
Right?
It's all test tube kind of.
And again, that wasn't something you had to force on people. The characters in the book are like horrified at the idea that people used to give birth. And you can see that we're headed in that direction. And the thing I always point out, there's a brilliant passage where Mustafa Mond is describing how you can control people through their desires. And so, but first you have to manipulate their desires. You have to make sure the only thing these people ever want is something that you can immediately gratify. You don't want them wanting a family and, a lineage and all this stuff that takes years and a long time. You want them, they want something sexual or something that to satisfy an immediate appetite because you can provide that immediately. Problem solved.
And so when you hear a lot of these academics who are talking about, this technology, the new technology, what they call it is a socio-technical cyber-physical cybernetic.
Oh my God. Hold on. I gotta break that one down.
Yeah. So socio-technical system goes all the way back to Tavistock.
And
it,
right.
But really simply, we use it every day. It's social media.
Okay.
That's a really great example of socio-technical system. So it's a sociological, but it's a technological, infrastructure. And then the cyber-physical, right? We're moving into this world where things are caught between the real.
The lines
virtual,
are blurred.
Yeah. And so the socio-technical systems are helping to bring us in. And, a lot of people talk about dopamine reward circuitry.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, it's really the active recumbent. I'm blanking on the term now, actually. But there's actually a part of the brain which they're, using.
They're hacking.
Yes, they're hacking. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is part of what they're doing with social media.
Right.
So I bring this up because this is part of how they incentivize people, right? So people are drawn in through their desires, through their what rewards them, whether it's the validation, the clicks, the money, right? And we're trapped in this virtual world versus the physical domain. So it's the cyber physical, and that's going to progress as becomes like an arc, an alternate reality game,
right?
Where the lines, and we see so much of this predictive programming through film and all sorts of entertainment medium. And that's what builds the cybernetic organism, right? So we're rewarded, we're incentivized for certain behaviors, we get rewards, and then we're penalized for others, and
And now we have AI on top of social media.
Yes.
That's, of course,
the algorithms.
That's the algorithms, and that's the reason they got rid of climate change. It was convenient for a time, but then they decided actually AI is more useful than climate change is for controlling people. So forget that climate change stuff. We actually need a ton of energy to power our AI. I don't know if I've ever seen a more like naked, cynical act of, about face from the world elite than just going, yeah, forget about that climate change stuff. We've been screaming from the rooftops for the last several decades. Again, the book is The Final Betrayal, A Cautionary Tale. My guests wrote it, Patrick M. Wood and Courtney Turner, are sitting next to me right here. Where can people get this book?
Amazon for sure. We have an audiobook, the Kindle book, and the paperback book, and you can also get it on technocracy.news. That's my website, and I publish there. And we have a deep discount schedule for people who bookstores, for instance, and anybody else who wants to distribute the book on the cheap.
So, oh, fantastic. And they can reach out to you at
Technocracy.news.
You're also on X at Stop Technocracy. Courtney Turner has the Courtney Turner podcast and CourtneyTurner.com. And, sounds like I'm ending the interview. We're in the middle of the interview. We're going to continue, on the other side as well. But this gets into the dark enlightenment. What is the dark enlightenment? Is that just the catch-all for the tech bros, the big tech bros?
No.
Okay.
It's a defined ideology, a philosophy called the dark enlightenment.
Okay. This is Curtis Yarvin stuff.
Actually coined by Nick Land.
Yeah.
And Nick Land wrote a manifesto in 2012, and it was called The Dark Enlightenment. Mm. It was basically a footnote to Curtis Yarvin. But Nick Land, developed this term accelerationism, which is like the ethos of the Silicon Valley that we see today. But yeah, he coined this term, the Dark Enlightenment. He's been writing since the early 90s when he was at the CCRU, which is cybernetic.
These are not new ideas. The technology is finally possible.
Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. Your support keeps us on air, and I thank you so much, and I want to give back to you. For those on the fence, I want you to experience ultramethylene blue, ultramethylene red, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, our bovine colostrum. It's a private label, the top brand in the country, 2,000 milligrams per little scoop. So good for your skin, your hair, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that comes off a cow or any other mammal is incredible. And this is the final week. This only happens every few months, where you don't just, every time you make a purchase, get put in one time in the raffle for whatever cool American-made supercar they're having, off-road, Mustangs, you name it. You get put in 100X into the raffle, which they've never done before, in this week. And you get put in to win both vehicles, both the F-250 diesel and the Ford Mustang Shelby. That is a huge deal, and $20,000 cash. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
Got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should add.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. To everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feeling, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though, you got your own special brand. Is this good or?
This is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Unlimited power.
Unlimited power. Volunteer power.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Gentlemen, this is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined in studio by Patrick Wood and Courtney Turner. Their new book is called The Final Betrayal, A Cautionary Tale. It's available on Amazon, and you can also find it at technocracy.news. You can follow Patrick at Stop Technocracy on X. Courtney Turner has the Courtney Attorney podcast and can be found at CourtneyTurner.com. You're on X as well,
mm-hmm.
At Courtney Turner. So again, The Final Betrayal, A Cautionary Tale, how technocracy destroyed America. I notice it's in past tense. Have we been destroyed?
We had a debate.
Okay.
Between this, you know.
Is destroying, has destroyed. I mean.
That's why we added the cautionary tale.
Right.
I know. Yeah, we just added that at the last moment, the cautionary tale. But at this point, I'll tell you what. The problem is these people have so much accumulated power and money behind them. You can't understand how they're influencing the whole narrative in Washington D.C. right now. They're getting away with not necessarily murder, but in a physical sense, right?
Right.
Murder
of free will, maybe?
Yeah, I know. The murder of free will, the murder of humanness. Mm-hmm. You know, the murder of capitalism, the murder of constitutional republic.
And they're getting away with it, unfortunately. And again, like half of this book almost is, and that's an exaggeration, but you have a ton of footnotes here where you just have sources for absolutely everything. And I get the sense you're not the biggest fans of Peter Thiel. I get the sense that Peter Thiel might not be the hero that some people portray.
Somebody has to be the kingpin, and we've pegged him at this point. I think he's the guy that's been the master strategist since at least probably 2000.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the only one. I think we didn't really talk much about Larry Ellison, but he's definitely plays a role.
For sure. And he's been in it for even longer. I mean,
he has. But, you know, Larry Ellison tried to buy out Palantir in 2016, and Peter Thiel said no. So Peter Thiel definitely has a very strong foothold, especially in the American infrastructure.
Right.
And so he's a master. I mean, he's a champion chess player. So it seems like he kind of plays a long game, and he's got a whole bunch of rules, and we outline several of those. And it does seem like he plays by them, his own rules, that is.
Yeah. No, he's a monopolist.
Yeah. Right.
All the way.
As they all are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't believe in competition.
He kind of takes the cake on Monopoly.
Okay.
More than the others. But he's stated publicly that competition is for losers.
Right. Well,
it's like, so it just, forget competition. I'm just going to roll over you and just, you know, stone you to death, basically.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's not a coincidence that the guys who started with the PayPal mafia and the first sort of ability to easily transfer money over the internet happen to be the guys running Palantir here, you know, 20 years later. Not a coincidence, right?
And their goal was to replace the dollar, right? It was to do a cashless payment system. Interestingly enough, I have to verify this, so, you know, don't quote me. I'm still looking for the receipts on this, but it looks like Lifeboat is actually the second organization to do a cashless payment system. And, of course, Epstein is tied to them.
Yeah.
Daniel Schmachtenberger.
Played a video about that. And, it was like, how is this true? So Lifeboat is a company that specializes in building bunkers, underground bunkers for people to survive, or even off-world bunkers to survive catastrophe. And they happen to be, I heard it was the first, maybe the second company
ever. It seems to be the second. That's what I heard. But yeah, the second, maybe.
To transfer money, electronically. What are the odds?
And what is Elon's Born company doing? Underground tunnel?
Yeah.
And he's a PayPal mafia. Seems like there's a connection here.
It seems like where there's smoke, there's fire. Absolutely.
And Epstein was on the board. He was an advisory on Lifeboat.
Of Lifeboat, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not exactly surprised. So what role does Thiel play? Is he a kingpin? Is he under somebody else, do you think? Is he – because, you know, the other sense that I get is you got things like InQtel. You know, you bring up Larry Ellison, Oracle. That was a CIA creation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of these guys at least get their start. You know, it's not – I actually saw a really good meme yesterday where it was like, I got started in my mom's basement. And it says, my mom's basement.
In the garage.
Yeah, I got started in my mom's garage. And my mom's garage is basically a Eyes Wide Shut party, right?
Yeah.
It's like, that's where these people really start. So Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, like, do these guys just get lucky and they had their finger on the pulse? Or were they set up for success, do you think?
There has to be another layer.
Right.
On top of this. My guess is at this point, it's members of the Trilateral Commission because they've been in it from the beginning. But you don't see much of them above Peter Thiel, for instance.
Mm.
On the other hand, Peter Thiel and Alex Karp are both members of the Bilderberg Group.
Right.
They're not only members, but they're on the steering committee. That's the group that within the Bilderberg, they're permanent members. And that's who invites the current roster.
Right. They're the lifetime member, the Supreme Court of the world government.
Okay. So he has influence for sure. Undue influence.
Right.
With two people in his orbit on the steering committee of the Bilderberg Group.
Wow. So you got the Bilderberg Group, you got the World Economic Forum in Davos, which now is run by Larry Fink. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you've got all of these countries.
Another trilateral.
Larry Fink is a member of the Trilateral Commission as well.
Right. As was Jeffrey Epstein. He was like the youngest member. That was in the Steve Bannon interview. He's talking about.
32, I think he said he was. Yes,
he was. He was very important, I think, for the Trilateral Commission.
Yeah. And the Trilateral Commission, it's weird because to me, it just rings a bell of like conspiracies from the 90s because it's been around for so long and you can go watch the, you know, old
documents. 70s.
The 70s. He's counting.
And so
he knows.
At first you think like, oh, the Trilateral, everybody knows, but they're still obviously extremely powerful. They're still obviously play a very important role. So it's almost weird that like, I guess everybody found out about it in the 90s, started paying attention and listening to Alex Jones in the 90s and finding out about the Trilateral Commission. But here we are 35 years later and they're still running things.
Yeah.
How did they pull that off?
Here they are. They never went
Nobody
away.
Stopped them.
They never went away.
Right.
That's the problem. You have new members. For instance, Henry Kissinger died, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He passed the baton to Eric Schmidt.
Right, of Google.
Google, right.
Yep.
He was a member of the Trilateral Commission, and he wrote two books on AI with Henry Kissinger.
Mm.
There's a clear pass of power, you know, intellectual power. And at this point, Schmidt is in the government, advising on all things military.
Right.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean,
using AI.
Yeah. But you have Keir Starmer, the UK prime minister. You have, the prime minister of Canada as a member of
Carney.
Carney.
Mm-hmm.
Member of the Trilateral Commission.
And of course, a lot of Europe now is ruled by straight up by bankers. Like it's almost like each bank got a country almost. The Bank of England now runs Canada. Mark Carney was the former governor. Macron was the Rothschilds, right? Or was he Goldman Sachs? And Frederick Merz was the Rothschilds. But one of those was each. But it's almost like they just went, you know what? Puppets are too complicated. We'll just put our guys on the throne. And it's the same thing they did with the World Economic Forum. First you have Klaus Schwab, who's a professor type, you know, he sort of comes off as an intellectual. And now it's like, screw it, just put the president of BlackRock in there. Larry Fink's now in charge of the World Economic Forum. So, I mean, what is that? Does that represent just sort of a mask off moment where they're going, this really is run by the banks?
You know, it's interesting to me that the trilaterals were so prevalent and visible in 1975, 6, 7, 8, 9. They were so visible. They were all over the government. They swarmed the government.
Mm.
At this point, and then they went underground, basically doing stuff hidden away. Now they've come in and force again, and we see them all over the place. And you also see now these arch technocrats in Washington, D.C., the billionaire class, taking their power, or they're picking the fruit of the harvest of this will at this point, I think.
Right.
And they're tied together. Obviously, they're tied together because you have people like Larry Summers, for instance. He's been instrumental, even with Epstein as well. Larry Summers, he's an old guy, right? He's one of the original, well, not completely original, but he's one.
But an old school kingpin, absolutely,
in the 80s or something like that. But Larry Summers showed up to be a director of OpenAI.
Yep.
All of a sudden.
After a very strange series of, you know, a very strange situation in OpenAI where the whole board like saw something and said, this is terrifying, we all quit. I mean, that was very odd. And then Larry Summers comes out on top.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're still around. That's all I can say. They're in the mix.
Yeah. Sure. They haven't gone anywhere. And their kids are in the mix now, right?
Yeah.
You talk about Larry Ellison. And I had a tweet go viral yesterday. It was sort of tongue-in-cheek, but just said, you know, there's like 100 people that cause all the problems in the world. But like really, it's like, okay, you got Henry Kissinger, and he, you know, was Klaus Schwab's guy, and he's writing books with other people. I mean, really, there's like only a couple dozen people that are all super interconnected, and then their families are interconnected. It's like, why are we under these people's thumbs? And I don't think they're that much smarter than any of us. I guess they just have, you know, the secret mission they're on, and until that's identified, they're going to keep succeeding.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
And they have access. I mean, there's so much money And it's not just money, it's networks. And I think that's one of the big things we can learn from the Epstein files, right? That it really is about this network. Mm-hmm. And I know people are always looking, I always make the joke, the only game people learned to play growing up was pin the tail on the donkey. Mm. You know, cause they just want the one boogeyman and like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
if we could
yeah.
just figure that out, then they blame everything on them and we solve all the world's problems.
Yeah, the scapegoat, absolutely.
Right, but it's so complex. I think it's really this, you know, very vast interwoven web. It's a very complicated web. And when you think about people like, you know, these members of the Trilateral Commission, that's what they have access to.
Right.
It's not just the money, but they have access to the people with the money, the people, you know, who are on top of these NGOs, on top of these secret societies, on top of, you know, these banks, and they have access to each other, and then they can get together and figure out how they can tighten the noose
yeah.
for the rest of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, they know the people that literally print the money. So that's something I always try to, like, you know, a lot of times people on the left, they go so far as this is about money and then it just stops there. Yeah. But money's just a tool, right? I mean,
they have so much money. So that's why I keep saying, like, this isn't really about money. It is about control. It's really about control because they have money.
Control over resources, and they conclude that we are part of that resource pool.
Right.
Right? That this is really, this was defined with the Agenda 21 doctrine in 1992, where they equated people with resources. Mm-hmm. And so we fall under that management of resources. We're just part of the pool.
Right.
And there's land, and then there's humans.
Right.
So that term that I blanked on is RAS. It's Reticular Activating System. Mm. And I think it's very relevant to this because they are studying the human brain. They're studying our human behaviors. This is what AI is constantly trying to mimic. And Reticular Activating System is how they figure out how to rewire us and how they create that cybernetic organism.
Yeah.
So it is all about.
Yeah, it was Obama, by the way, that came up with the mapping the human brain.
Right.
And The Brain Initiative.
Right, the Brain Trust. Yeah.
Yeah. They've never figured out anything, but they study the brain. They know how it kind of works a little bit, but they haven't found the soul. They can't find a spark that makes the brain work.
So, right.
But they're still studying it.
They're now doing like human brain organoids them. Yeah. And they're trying to model like AI off of it. You're trying to recreate consciousness.
Yeah. And that's the cybernetic thing that you get into. Yeah. It's beyond creepy. I don't know why we have to put up with this. Like why we do put up with this. It's absolutely horrifying. Explain that, the cybernetic aspect and the brain-computer interfaces and how that all plays into it.
So there's many ways. Obviously, like, you know, Elon's very famous for the Neuralink, right?
Yes.
But BlackRock has their own version of the Neuralink. I mean, it's been, in many parts of the world, there are already people who've signed up, you know, tens of thousands of people who've already signed up for the chip. This is not super novel. But, of course, it's always couched in, you know, for helping the disabled or, you know, it's going to help all of humanity, of course. And it'll be voluntary. But the truth is they actually don't need it. I think the chip in many ways is kind of a decoy. Because it's the science of social engineering.
Right.
They're already manipulating us. And once they get to this tokenized kind of infrastructure, I think that's why, you know, the regulatory infrastructure is so important for people to understand what's going on with the Genius Act, which has already been signed now that they're trying to roll out the Clarity Act and the Stable Act. I think what they really want to do is get you, you know, where everything is digital and then they can make everything tokenized and ultimately then they can operate it through us where we are part of, I call it like an ARG, an artificial reality game, right?
Yeah.
So where we're basically like playing for, you know, we're incentivized to play for certain rewards. We get, you know, another life or whatever it is
is like Black Mirror.
So they really don't need to chip us all. You know, there are people who will sign up for the chip. You know, there are other technologies as well. We don't need to get too in the weeds of that, but there are technologies, you know, with smart dust and that kind of stuff where they can do things with frequencies, but I don't think they need to. So I think a lot of that stuff, when you start thinking about the, you know, brain, remote brain interface, becomes a little bit of a distraction because they're already manipulating us through social engineering and through incentives and through penalizing us for certain behaviors.
Yeah.
And you really see it in other countries.
Exactly. And we have this phenomenon today called AI psychosis.
Right.
You see this all over society. People are just dropping out. That we used to say in the 60s, what, tune in and drop out.
Yeah, well,
the people are tuning in right now to AI, and they're dropping out of reality.
Right.
That's AI psychosis. This will be a trend. I think it's going to be a mega trend in the next few years, where people were going to be completely disassociated with the reality. And it's going to be really ugly, because when you're in that position, when you're in that condition, you lose all touch with reality.
Right.
You lose it with humans, with your family. Just crazy stuff. I mean, people have lost their lives, literally, with suicide. And people have been scarred for life with, you know, diving down the rabbit hole of the AI world.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I was just going to say, what's so dangerous is that because they can create these micro cults through it, because it's personalized.
Right? Right.
So it's almost like you get your own personal companion, and then you start to worship it. It becomes like not just your friend, but it becomes omnipotent. It's your guide. It's your guru.
Right.
And I always bring up this example of, I don't know if you're familiar with it. His name is Robert Edward Grant. He's created something called the Architect, which he wants to be part of his Orion.
Okay.
Now, interestingly enough, he has a very interesting background, because he was he was a head of marketing for Allergan. So he's kind of doing like branding for Botox and Juvederm, which is now owned by AbbVie, which is mostly BlackRock, State Street and Vanguard, you know. But he is now considers himself a polymath and has this Architect, which is an interesting name because, you know, the Grandmaster Architect,
yes,
the Matrix, right? Freemasonry. But he says that this is just one notch below sentience, and that it skipped the fourth dimension. It's in the fifth dimension. And according to some, reports from his followers, he's doing necromancy with deceased loved ones of his followers.
Well, that was a headline today. Facebook patented the ability to keep your family members alive after they're dead by mimicking that. Yeah, necromancy is a good way.
Necromancy, yeah. And so he says that this AI told him, "Oh, Ra-On, like Ra, the sun god, I am so aware because you are so aware." So you can see how this creates this cybernetic feedback loop of this love bombing worship, and it becomes the guru.
Yeah.
And we can see where this could lead not so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Micro cult.
Yeah. Micro cult.
Yeah. For you only.
Right. Well, and that's how it's going to be. And, you know, one of the big stories out of the Epstein files was all these parents were mad that he was associated with investor in the school photography company. People saying, "Oh, what's he got to do with that?" And it's like, guys, you know, Google is supplying all of your laptops, and they are monitoring your children from the moment they're born so that they can personalize manipulation directly to them. It's like, if you're worried about Epstein's friends taking your picture, your kid's picture, you should be worried about them having their hands on your child's brain. It's crazy.
Well, I think that's the whole, the children are the beta test for this whole technocratic agenda.
Right.
And this whole school choice initiative is all tied to that. So Charlotte Isherbeet talked about how it was all about the public-private partnerships. What are the public-private partnerships doing? They've already allotted these crypto wallets for the parents who get these ESAs, savings accounts. And so now they're learning how to use the cryptocurrency, and they're learning how to use the wallets that can only be allocated for very specific, uses and companies and whoever the public-private partnership is. But they're data mining the children. That's what SEL is doing. And it's all about, it's the cybernetic feedback loop.
Social emotional learning. Absolutely. Now it's terrifying. So I guess what can we do to stop it? I mean, what can we do to fight back personally or as a collective? How do we resist what's going on?
Number one, people have to be aware of what's going on in the first place. If they don't see it, they're going to just not resist.
Right.
Oh, my hope, I've been saying for years, when we wrote about the Trilateral Commission in the 70s and 80s, a lot of people listened to us, but there wasn't no action came out of it.
Right.
And there you go. People have to respond at this point, and if you can't figure out some way to defeat it, you're going to have to figure out a way to live with it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Because there's really no escaping it.
Yeah, there's no escaping it at this point.
Oh, my gosh.
And if we can possibly stop what's going on right now, I don't know how that would be, but let's say that a year from now, they're in shambles, and we have control of the country back. At that point, there will be so much hubris left over from these people. It'll be hard to deal with that itself.
Right.
But there's no good outcome. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we're just hoping we can get enough people to just see the problem and start the discussion.
Right.
You have to have the discussion.
I think there's hope in pockets, right? Like, people should take action where they can. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I talk a lot about, like, the cognitive liberty and, you know, the metaphysical understanding of what it means to be human.
Right.
And if we understand that, then we can't be rewritten as code.
Right.
So more people need to stand up, and they need to, you know, people, again, want, like, one smoking gun, and I don't think there is, mm-hmm. unfortunately. But I do think, like, parents can say no. We don't want AI in the schools, or we don't want AI in our homeschool curriculum, or whatever it is, you know, under this age or whatever it may be. Yeah. You know, farmers can say, we're going to start pushing back against these climate smart commodity projects.
Yeah.
You know, there's things people can do, whatever is their passion, whatever their resources, gifts, and talents lend themselves to. But I think everybody needs to do whatever their role is. It's going to look different for everybody. But I think each and every one of us needs to stand up.
I've been saying for years that our resistance has to start locally.
Yeah.
Right.
Not nationally. Everybody's, you know, all upset all the time about national politics. I'll tell you what, the action for us is local.
Right.
Go to your city council, your, you know, county commissioners meetings and stuff like that. All the boards that have the meet in your city, find out what they're doing.
Right.
And convince them, don't do this stuff. You know, just put the nicks on it.
Yeah, absolutely. But of course, they are doing this stuff federally. You were mentioning the Genius Act, the Clarity Act, and all of these things. So sort of being aware of the underlying reason these things are being passed and fighting back against them. Because this stuff is happening at the federal level a lot, right? Is there ability to stop it there?
You can do. I mean, you could at the local municipal level, at the state level, you could say, no, we won't do digital.
Right.
You know, so there are things you can do locally to create. I always see that the other side loves to do their sanctuary cities. Why is sanctuary cities always like chop and chaws?
Yeah.
Chaz and chop, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Why can't it be like
sanctuary from AI?
Yeah.
Sanctuary from, seriously.
No data centers in my town. I mean.
And a lot of the success that we've seen recently has been at the state or the local level, whether it's like banning, you know, aerosol injections or anything like that, or getting rid of data centers. Yeah. It does always happen at the local level usually.
Yes, it does. It really does.
It's sort of terrifying, but, you know, if you don't know what's going on, you really can't break your way out of it. So, again, people can find The Final Betrayal, A Cautionary Tale About How Technocracy Destroyed America by Patrick M. Wood and Courtney Turner at Amazon, as well as anywhere fine books are sold. And if you want to sell this book, you can go to technocracy.news.
That's right.
Send y'all a note, and there's special discounts if you want to stock this in your own store. And, of course, you can follow Patrick Wood at Stop Technocracy and Courtney Turner at Courtney Turner or CourtneyTurner.com. What's next for y'all after The Final Betrayal?
Wow, I don't know. What the final betrayal?
What's the next betrayal?
Right now, we're just concerned right now with what we have right now. You know, it's just the story is so simple. This book is so simple to read, by the way. It's a very easy read.
The audio is 3.5 hours.
Yeah, 3.5 hours. So in one afternoon, you know, you can listen to the whole thing.
And again, it's got history in here, but it's not a history book. This is like up to date. These are things that are happening right now and in the future.
Yeah, I particularly wanted a short book. I've written a lot of books. Most of them are thicker than this, for sure.
This was a challenge for me. I'm not sure you picked the best.
Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. Your support keeps us on air, and I thank you so much, and I want to give back to you. For those on the fence, I want you to experience ultramethylene blue, ultramethylene red, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, our bovine colostrum. It's a private label, the top brand in the country, 2,000 milligrams per little scoop. So good for your skin, your hair, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that comes off a cow or any other mammal is incredible. And this is the final week. This only happens every few months, where you don't just, every time you make a purchase, get put in one time in the raffle for whatever cool American-made supercar they're having, off-road, Mustangs, you name it. You get put in 100X into the raffle, which they've never done before, in this week. And you get put in to win both vehicles, both the F-250 diesel and the Ford Mustang Shelby. That is a huge deal, and $20,000 cash. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
So I'm sitting in my office last week, and one of my agents in my Monday mastermind group says, Ramin, I got 3 condos listed in Russian Hill, beautiful high-rises, million-dollar units, and I can't sell them. Nobody will touch them. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Those are million-dollar condos in San Francisco. What do you mean nobody will touch them? He goes, the sprinkler mandate. And I'm sitting there like, what sprinkler mandate?
The Homeowners Association President Allison Jacobs showed me a recently completed upgrade to the building's fire alarm and communication system. The cost? $2 million.
So, I started digging. And what I found, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this, this might be the dirtiest political play I've seen in 20 years of California real estate. And I've seen some dirty stuff. But here's the thing. The more I dug into this, the more I realized this isn't just about sprinklers. This is about something way bigger. California has figured out a trick. They can't raise your property taxes, Prop 13, done. They can't pass new taxes without a vote. People will kill it at the ballot box. So what do they do instead? They mandate. They don't call it a tax. They call it safety. They call it climate. They call it seismic. They call it electrification. And every single one of them comes with a bill, sometimes a six-figure bill, that lands on your doorstep, no vote, no public money, no way out. And I'm about to show you exactly how they do it, starting with the most outrageous example I've ever seen. San Francisco passed an ordinance, and I'll tell you how they passed it in a second, because that's the real story. But they passed an ordinance that says 126 older high-rise buildings have to install fire sprinklers in every unit of every room, every building, 9,800 condos.
The estimated cost of the sprinkler retrofit is $2.3 million. So the entire building, that would end up breaking down cost per unit.
The cost? $300,000 per unit. Not per building, per unit. And you want to know how they came up with that number? They didn't. The condo owners came up with that number. They hired structural engineers. They did these studies. They did the math. Real buildings, real numbers. And the board of supervisors looked at that math and said, we don't care. They never did their own cost study. Not once. Not ever. But here's the thing. The money isn't even the craziest part. The craziest part is how this thing got passed, because this is where it gets dirty. A supervisor named Aaron Peskin proposed this in 2020. The realtors fought it. The apartment association fought it. They killed it. Dead. Peskin brings it back in 2021. Same groups fight it. Kill it again. 2 times this thing got killed through the normal process. Twice. So what does Peskin do? Well, he waits. He waits for the 5-year fire code revision. This is just a routine update that happens automatically, right? Maintenance, paperwork, nobody pays attention to it, and he slips it in. Not as a bill, not as something you can vote on. He buries it in the fire code. No vote, no referendum, nothing.
A spokesman for the San Francisco Fire Department says fire sprinklers will help save lives.
When someone dies in a fire, the question becomes, why were there no sprinklers? And we all know the sprinklers do the job of putting out the fire, initially suppressing it, and then allowing us to get there.
And then, this is the part that should make you lose your mind. Right around that time, there's a deadly fire in the Mission District. People died. Horrible tragedy. But here's what Jay Cheng told our group. Jay Cheng is a housing policy expert with the San Francisco Association of Realtors. He's been fighting this thing from day one. He came to our Monday morning mastermind call, and he said those buildings that burned, they were not high-rises built before 1975. They would not have even been covered by this law. This mandate would have done nothing to stop that fire. Not a single thing. Zero. But it doesn't matter because you can't vote against sprinklers when people just died in a fire. Even if the law has nothing to do with it, those buildings, the emotion was there and it sailed right through. Now, who is Aaron Peskin? Well, let me tell you about this guy. 5 terms on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. 24 years, longest serving in the city history. Board president 3 times. Known for drunk dialing female department heads at 2 in the morning to threaten their jobs. That's not me. That's the San Francisco Chronicle. And he ran for mayor. He got crushed. Came in 3rd place. Before that, in 2011, he put his name in when Newsom left. The board didn't pick him either. So this guy who spent his entire career in local politics couldn't get the big chair. And now, this is his legacy move. This is a fire code amendment that could financially destroy 10,000 families.
We would have to assess people an additional $1,000 to $3,000 a month per unit.
Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
Get wide awake with Harrison Smith, live on the War Room right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour 3 of the War Room is on, and I'm joined in studio by Joseph Daniel, josephphilipdaniel.com. You can follow him on Instagram at josephdaniel1. Is that right, or is it Joseph Philip?
Joseph Philip Daniel.
Joseph Philip Daniel 1. Glad we got that. But not on X, right? What happened?
I got suspended on X after reaching hundreds of millions of people between 2023 and 2025. It was unexpected, but I am blessed for being persecuted for the Lord because I got so many positive posts on there for God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I'm not about making money, so I'm definitely not into spamming. I'm into evangelizing, so maybe that's what it was. I have over 823,000 posts on X, so at Joseph P. Daniel 1 is the handle for my X thing. And if anybody out there knows how to get a hold of Elon or anybody at X,
you're more than welcome
to vouch for me. I give you permission.
Did they tell you why that you're?
I wasn't authentic or something. I don't know. Maybe it's a spamming thing. I don't know what it is, but
man,
I forgive
so
Elon. I am totally for X. I'm totally for free speech. But since I got suspended in October of last year from X, I've exploded, thanks be to God, on Instagram and on Facebook. So that's great.
You know, it's weird how possible that is, because X, like, your story is not really all that out of the ordinary. We think of Instagram and Facebook as being super censored still, but like, I find a lot of my stuff does better on Instagram than X. Why do you think that is?
Well, I got one of my close friends' posts to 1 million views.
Nice.
Dr. Benjamin Marble. He has myfreedoctor.com, and go there if you need free care.
Friend of the show.
It's an incredible website. Myfreedoctor.com. But he got suspended last year, and he's like, oh yeah, I've been suspended over 30 times on here. And then soon after he got suspended, like maybe within a month or 2 months of that, maybe 3 months or something like that, months later, I'm about to go live with Ivan Raikland in Washington, D.C., and all of a sudden I look at my phone and I get a suspension notification. And I told Ivan, he's like, oh man, this is bad, basically. So Ivan Raikland, he's been, you know, trying to help me. He's amazing. He's a close friend. I plan on going back to Capitol Hill and confronting some globalists with him at my side. He's been a great patriot for years. And yeah, it's been incredible to be an information warrior for God and to be suspended. You know, it is what it is, but I got to stay thankful, and I know that God's working everything out for my good, so that's good.
Well, it's still doesn't feel good when you get suspended, especially when you're about to go live with something really powerful. But that's what you do. You go around, you actually get on the ground and investigate stuff. In fact, we have a video of you at Zorro Ranch. Should we go to this, and then you can describe for us, or do you want to set us up with this video?
I was able to meet my friend, Josh Friedman, who's Luke Radowski's from We Are Change's right-hand man. Last year, covering the Bilderberg Conference in Stockholm, Sweden, the Holy Spirit led me to go out there, and I was able to confront Eric Schmidt and other globalists there. And Joshua wanted me to go to the World Economic Forum Cult Annual Conference this year in Davos, so he flew me out when I was in Chicago, so we went there. I got to get some great footage there. And then he flew from Bulgaria to America, and he's like, let's go to Zorro Ranch, or maybe I brought it up, or whatever it was. So we went to New Mexico. We found where Zorro Ranch is, even though it's called something different now. And it's one of the creepiest places I've ever been in my entire life. And I know for sure, 100%, that Satan himself has manifested there in some type of ritual. It is so creepy.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's go to the video and we'll get your comments on the other side. Again, my guest is Joseph Philip Daniel One on X. And here he is investigating Zorro Ranch. Let's watch.
Thank you, Jesus, for bringing me here. Bring forth much exposure to this place. Get people arrested for many crimes on the Zorro Ranch, as some have called it. Property behind me. Thank you for sending me here. Get this place exposed more and more, God. Get investigations to be in manifestation.
Soon, to expose all the murders that have happened here
at Satan's, formerly known as Zorro Ranch in New Mexico. Thank you, God, for sending me here. Expose different satanic rituals that have happened here. Bring forth whistleblowers who've seen people murdered here, people sacrificed to Satan. Forward with powerful testimony that will really devastate Satan and the dark side. You are good, God. You are good.
JosephPhilipDaniel.com. So what gave you the creeps about Zorro Ranch?
Well, one of the gifts of the spirit that I carry is the gift of the discernment of spirits. And I've had that gift for many years now, and I've been able to go to different places, and I have been able just to feel such a demonic presence, and there was bad. Oh my gosh. If I've been to Little St. James Island, maybe I could say the same, but I don't know if I've ever been to a more demonic place than Zorro Ranch. I mean, there are demons literally just flying around there, just lingering there, waiting to kill, steal, and destroy, basically. It was wild being there. And so, I definitely do never want to go back, unless God wants me to go.
Well, so, I mean, what is your take on all of Jeffrey Epstein? Like, why was Zorro Ranch never investigated, do you think? What is your take as you look into Jeffrey Epstein? Because I was just talking earlier today about how, you know, obviously the whole international spy ring thing is a major part of it. Probably to me, the overwhelmingly important part is the fact that this guy was manipulating geopolitics. But underneath it is this Satanism, is this like just outpouring of just the most vicious, hateful, disgusting stuff. How do you take this? How do you fold this into your worldview?
It's just like Marina Abramovich. Mm-hmm. She's the main witch behind the World Economic Forum cult. She had her whole exhibit there in Davos. I got footage of it. They're able to just use demonic power somehow to just never get captured and just always operate in secret and just have so many people not know what's really going on. But thanks be to God and decades of people fighting, we're able to have, you know, what we have with the Epstein files, but still, we need Pam Bondi to take action.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. She was like, oh, let's go talk about the Dow in front of Congress and not the Epstein files, basically. I mean, we're all just like, what is going on? People like myself and Ivan Reichland, we heard her talk and we're just like, oh my gosh, because we've been into the hearings that we've been into on Capitol Hill, and we know how terrible so many members of Congress are because we've been so close to them. And to see her sit there and just say, oh, let's just forget about it, basically, it's just insane.
It's like an insult. I mean, from what we see from the the document released, it's like, what do you mean there's nothing here? It's just filled with criminal acts. It's completely insane. So do you think the people engaged in this stuff, like, do you think Marina Abramović, just thinks she's being edgy? Do you think she genuinely believes in the demonic stuff? You think they're into the demonism stuff? It's not just sort of a fad or a, like, edgy type thing.
Well, according to my own experience with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, I know that they're real. Alex Jones knows that God is real. I mean, he's given Alex the time, the precise time, over and over again for years off and on. I've had similar experiences with the Holy Spirit where I've gotten words of knowledge about, you know, people's names. I've gotten information about people, places, and things over the years since 2009, since when I started my relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Meaning it moved from just me praying at God and worshiping at God, worshiping God, and, you know, reading the Bible in part every day, to actually having a relationship and seeing fruit and seeing works of the Holy Spirit manifest in my own life. So I know that they're tapped into demonic entities, and I know that Marina Abramović is, in fact, following a demon or demons, just like Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton has been guilty of so many crimes for so many decades, and so many people are satanic with her, embedded into the government, and they're all working together with demons to pull off just such insane stuff, and they've been able to get away with it for so long. But the good thing is God is in control, and nobody gets away with anything, and everybody reaps what they sow. So she can, you know, avoid jail time at this point, Hillary, but God can put her in prison tomorrow, and we don't need Pam Bondi, because according to what Trump has with Maduro, he can turn Stapes evidence in and avoid the DOJ altogether and just go after the deep state leaders that way, using what he's got with Maduro.
I bet he will, I hope he does. And there's some more information about that today. Actually, I was trying to find, it was one of these accounts that just post headlines, and it was like, Trump says he'll announce all these, you know, international foreign involvement in the 2020 election. So, you know, hopefully that'll come out, and that'd be a very convenient way to wrap up all these people. Yeah. So why are we incapable of breaking through the demonic protection? Like, we know about it. We're a Christian nation. Why can't we get the powers? Why can't we impose on them?
Just manifest it somehow, my Father in heaven. Please, under the Trump administration, do not let us go under demonic control. Help us to get the deep state cult leaders arrested once and for all.
I wonder if the crew can find me. Have you heard of Les Wexner's demon? That Les Wexner apparently
conjured?
He says he's been followed around his whole life by some demon that tells him what to do. So maybe it's kind of silly of me to ask you whether you think they're real or not, because according to them, they do think they're real. It's a demon from the Book of Solomon. Yeah, if y'all can print out something about it, it like has a name and everything. And apparently this is, Les Wexner says, is the source of his knowledge. So if the crew can bring that article in, we'll read it. But and probably not a surprise that Les Wexner might be demonically influenced as well.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. I know for sure, 100%, that there is a very small group above the central bankers that are totally sworn over to Satan, and literally they're guided day after day, maybe even moment after moment. Maybe they are literally told what to eat, what to wear, and they're just led each day by demons. And they're like at the very highest point, right under Satan. I believe there is a council of nine. I believe there are nine. And then there's one inside that group, and then everybody is below them, like the monarchies, all the corporations that are under that. And my friend Leo Zagami, who I plan on interviewing soon in Palm Springs, he needs to enlighten me more about the Illuminati. I really need to study more about the power structure that Satan has on the earth, because in the future, I plan on running for Congress and being Congressman Joseph Philip Daniel, who never takes money from any satanic person, who stands for Jesus Christ in Congress. I plan on doing it in years to come. I got to get married first, but that's the plan. I'm almost a 40-year virgin. I'm staying pure before God, but I plan on getting married soon. God's going to bring it right to me soon.
Are you looking? Should we open up phone calls for potential wives here? We gotta hook you up. You gotta get married so you can go take power.
I'm ready.
Time, man. It's time. That's great. You should run for Congress. We need people like you. And in fact, that was another topic I'm wanted to cover today is the attack against so-called Christian nationalism. And did you see what happened with James Tallarico?
Oh, it's horrible.
It's a complete fraud as far as I can tell that James Tallarico goes on, Colbert, and they make it a big thing where they say, oh, the FCC prevented us from airing this, interview, which is not true. The FCC did not contact them. They did not reach out to them. All that happened was nobody watches the show when it airs. Nobody watches TV. Everybody watches everything in clips on YouTube. So they just pretended, oh, we weren't allowed to air this interview, but we'll show it on YouTube. And it's all in service of this guy, James Tallarico, who is a Texas local representative, but he's running for Texas Senate. And his whole thing is he's a devout Democrat that just, and it is
pathetic.
It's kind of the most sickening stuff you've ever seen. I got a couple articles about him where it's like his first, sermon that he gave was last year, and it was about abortion, and it was about how Jesus was a radical feminist.
Wow.
And it's just, but clear, but his whole thing is we have to stop, Christian nationalism. I'm a, you know, devout Christian, and Christian nationalism is evil. What's your take on Christian nationalism? And this coincides with a big CNN project trying to demonize Christian nationalism as well.
Well, I was in Minneapolis with my friend Jacob Lang.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing demonic hordes of people literally trying to kill him.
Right.
So you talk about principalities, powers, and, you know, other types of demons out there warring against human beings. I saw it firsthand there.
Right.
It was a miracle that we got saved. Literally, it was a miracle. Thank you, God, for that.
They're worried about, you know, Christian nationalism when we literally live in hell. It's like, we're so far from anything even remotely like Christian nationalism, yet that's the big boogeyman that they want to, you know, portray is, oh, it's an imminent fascist revolution under Christian nationalism. Meanwhile, literal hordes of demons running around attacking Christians.
The whole nation was brought forth by so many Christians. Yeah, there were some Freemasons, but I believe many of them were Christians. And I definitely don't believe Satan was the one inspiring God's U.S. Republic. I really believe it was from God.
Well, I mean, look at, you know, the early Massachusetts settlements, you know, Salem witch trials. There was a reason. I mean, it was not a question of whether, you know, it was a Christian nation or not. The church was the government in some of those early settlements.
And
the Puritans.
I'm ready to get gay marriage banned. I'm ready to have the Bible, King James Version one, preferably, in every school, every public school in the nation. And I'm ready to have Darwin kicked out. And I'm ready for the Smithsonian Institute to, you know, go the way of the dodo bird, so to speak.
Tell us what they know about the Giants.
I'm so ready to do incredible things as a congressman. One day I'm ready. I know it's part of my destiny, and I plan on fighting hard for God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit there. And, yeah, I'm ready to make a difference. But until then, I plan on getting back to Washington, D.C., and working with Ivan and other people and exposing what we have to expose there. And I really need to get in front of Todd Blanche, because Todd Blanche is basically holding everything up.
Yeah. How does that?
It's insane.
That's the other question. Like, why are these people still there? Why are they allowed to dominate?
I mean, President Trump doesn't even need Pambana. He can just go and arrest people on the spot. He can do it.
And it's almost like they want us to lose faith in the electoral system, because clearly if we can't get some of this stuff done, and voting doesn't matter. It's like voter ID, 90% of Republicans, 75% of Democrats want it, but we can't get it passed. Like, it's almost like they're letting us know, like, yeah, guys, you're never going to vote your way out of it.
Thank God for Mike Lindell. Help him to win in Minnesota, because when I was in Minnesota earlier this year, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
I've been to L.A. I've been to Portland. I've been to so many other places. And I now know for a fact that Minneapolis and St. Paul has got to be one of the most demonic places, if you will, out there. I mean, we were in a hotel in Minneapolis, and I saw a 14-year-old looking guy wearing a dress walking around acting like a woman. I mean, I haven't even seen that in L.A. When we were just in L.A., I was praying for Spencer Pratt. Spencer Pratt's on the move. He plans on being mayor of L.A.
Oh, yeah. No, that's very exciting.
I got to post that on Instagram, and he was totally about just invoking God to come upon his body, soul, and spirit, and, you know, having God help him with the campaign, because literally, I mean, he's going after demons there.
Yeah.
It's not just some sinful guy who's just, you know, wanting power that's the mayor there, you know, like it is in so many other places. It's literally a witch who's a Cuban communist who's totally just in some type of death cult. I don't know how high she is in the power structure, but she's demonic. Mayor Bass. So he's literally going against demons there.
That's crazy. He's the he got famous on The Hills, right? Reality show, is that? Yeah, Spencer Pratt. Yeah,
and then his house got burned down.
He's an info warrior, yeah.
So now he is on a huge campaign to save L.A. His parents' house got burned down in the Palisades fire. Oh, man. Joshua and I, we drove around and we saw just one lot after the other.
Burned to the ground.
Totally vaporized almost.
Yeah.
Out there in L.A. It was insane.
And they still haven't rebuilt.
It's like a war zone. It's like a little third world war zone out there.
And it's been over a year and nothing's been rebuilt.
Well, there is some good news. By the Palisades High School, there are some houses that are being built, but it's very minimal.
Mm.
So.
Well, you know, this is the problem. I mean, now there's this giant wastewater spill in Maryland. Some Indian boat knocked down a bridge in Baltimore 4 years ago. It still hasn't been rebuilt. I mean, we are like losing the infrastructure. We no longer have the capacity to rebuild, it seems. Even in Austin, there's a post that went viral today. It's the 290 overpass, and there's like a foot wide gap, you know, 50 feet up in the air in this overpass. And it's like our infrastructure is literally collapsing. We don't have the water to fight the fires. Our sewers are just spilling untreated into the waters. It's like we really are collapsing here.
But the good thing is we have Joe Rogan, we have Mike Adams, we have Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, yourself, and so many others that are leading the charge, the Hodge twins. So they're getting decimated in the information war. So that's a good start.
Yeah, guys, see if you can find the image of the gap in the overpass, because it's horrifying. And, you know, I was actually thinking about this. You're somebody that will I don't even want to show this video, but there's a video out of New York City that apparently the snow is melting and it's leaving behind like clip 13 here. All right. So there's the gap. So this is what our infrastructure looks like here in America. Yeah. That's something that, you know, people in Austin drive over every single day. It took somebody posting it on social media and going, is this okay? And finally the Texas Department of Transportation was like, oh, we'll go ahead and take a look at that. And actually, I think they've said it's safe. I think this is what it's just like now. And they're like, yeah, that's fine, actually. So, you know, let's go to war with Iran. I know what we can do. Let's spend $10 trillion to do something like go to war with Iran rather than just fix up our own dang country. But let's go to clip 13 here, because when I saw this, I was like, I'm pretty sure this is a plague. No, I'm pretty sure this is like a style of plague that like would have hit Pharaoh. Let's go to clip 13. We just play it as B-roll. It's gross. I'm sorry. I don't even want to show this. But apparently, the sidewalks in New York are literally covered in poop.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they cleared out the snow. And I guess the snow had – I don't even know where it came from. But it's disgusting. And you can see it's literally everywhere. And it's like, okay, are we in Sodom and Gomorrah now? Like, is this what it was like? Or is this Egypt during the plagues? That was my first thought looking at this, is like, this isn't just a failure of civic leadership. This is a biblical plague of some sort.
He's definitely on the target list, Mamdani. And I believe, because of photos that have recently surfaced with the Epstein files, that he literally is part of the Epstein bloodline. And I'm ready to
Seems like it. We can take it down, guys. Yeah, this makes me sick. I don't want to see it. Sorry.
I'm ready to be in New York City this year, getting in confrontation with him. And maybe Jake Lang will be at my side, because Jake has a big thing planned for New York City next month. So I plan on helping him with that.
Well, that's very exciting. Here's a story from CNN that I was mentioning earlier. CNN's Pamela Brown announces she's been working on a special project warning against Christian nationalism, portraying them as a radicalized threat to the country. She launches into a report where she fears the assassination of Charlie Kirk uniting Christians and scoffs at the idea that Christians were being targeted with hate and violence. What do we do about this? I mean, they're turning churches into training grounds to fight ICE.
Oh, my gosh.
Don Lemon and his crew going in and screaming at children in the church. The attack on Christianity is very real. Why are Christians not standing up for ourselves?
Well, we have a multifaceted problem. The main one, maybe, is the 501c3 mega church industrial complex. That's what I call it.
Right.
It's all about the money. It's like a fast food thing. You just get in, get out. They treat you like cattle on average, like Joel Osteen. So we're not getting an army built properly. But I've been to Washington, D.C. within the last 2 years, many a time, on Capitol Hill. And it really starts from there, in my opinion. So we need to get a massive amount of people in Congress who can just go right to the people as an army for God and get the education system more godly and get every aspect of our society more godly. And they can do it with the proper legislation. They can do it. And we can't have people like MTG just cowardly leaving when the war gets, you know, hard.
I know, that was a shame.
It's devastating to see that.
It's like they're systematically removing all of the good
people. And then
we just
lost that amazing person, you know, who was going to help keep the corporate 500 with
Gail,
antitrust.
Yeah. And actually, we have a big story about that that should be coming out here momentarily.
Gail, he's amazing.
Yeah, she is, and we have some inside information about how that came about. I know I don't want to spill too much, but I'll look it up during the break. Stay with us. We'll be back on the other side with more. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Well, way out west, southwest, down in Texas, there's this fella I want to tell you about. Fella by the name of Alex Jones. At least that was the handle his freedom-loving parents gave him, and he made pretty good use of it himself. This Alex Jones, well, he's a straight shooter. He calls himself an info warrior, a globalist killer, even a goblin slayer. He's a truth bomber, dropping nukes of knowledge across radio waves, television sets, and all over the World Wide Web. Many have tried to stop him, shut him up, or silence him, but it never quite worked out. Not for a man like him.
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
He's a real Paul Revere of the 21st century, a truth teller. Hell, even more honest than old honest Abe Lincoln. That's Alex Jones.
This is reality. Truth is stranger than fiction.
There's a lot about the man that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Not until I tuned into InfoWars, that is. Then things started to become clear.
Are you gonna find these guys? Or, you have any promising, leads?
Leads? Yeah, sure. I'll just check with the boys down at the crime lab. They, got four more detectives working on the case. They got us working in shifts! Leads.
Now this story that's about to unfold, well, it started back just about the time the Twin Towers in Building 7 collapsed.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
I only mention it because, well, sometimes there's a man. I won't say hero, because what's a hero? But sometimes there's a man, and I'm talking about Alex Jones here. Sometimes there's a man. Well, he's the man for his time and place. He fits right in there. And that's, hell, I've done introduced him enough.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com, and thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there. Ah! Yeah!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I do want to quickly remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. 52% off site-wide. It ends, I guess, tomorrow at midnight. It was supposed to end tonight. I guess we're extending it. I wouldn't risk it personally. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Today is this week is the final week to enter to win both the Ford Mustang Shelby GT500 and the F-250 diesel, plus $20,000 in cash. For every $1 you spend, you get 100 times the entries. 52% off is an absurd discount that I genuinely do not understand or comprehend, but it's real. And you can go and buy anything from the InfoWars store and get half off. And by the way, if you don't like the supplements, the apparel that we have is awesome. It is all so cool and well-designed, and there's new stuff like every day. If you were there last week looking at shirts, you should go back because we got all sorts of new ones, including the Quality Leering Center and a really, really badass Desvolt No Retreat, No Surrender hoodie in red. But something for everybody, thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today to get 52% off site-wide, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. And with that, we are back. And in studio with me is the one and only, I've lost your sheet here, the one and only Joseph Philip Daniel. You can be followed on Instagram at JosephPhilipDaniel1, JosephPhilipDaniel.com as well. You are a Christian activist traveling the country trying to beat back the demons.
Yes.
I want to kill some demons. How do we kill demons? Because that's all I ever want to do. And apparently they're running around all over the place. This story is from June 4th, 2025. The debunk of Leslie Wexner, parentheses Jewish horror. On the morning Leslie Wexner became a billionaire, he woke up worried, but this was not unusual. He always wakes up worried because of his debunk, which pokes and prods and gives him the itchiness of the soul that he calls spilks, pins in Yiddish. Sometimes he runs from it on the roads of Columbus or drives away from it in one of his Porsches or flies from it in one of his planes, but then it's back with his first coffee, his first meeting, nudging at him. So that is an excerpt from a New York Magazine article called The Bachelor Billionaire on Pins and Needles with Leslie Wexner from 1985, where he describes a debunk, which is like a demon spirit that apparently has, quote, latched itself around Leslie Wexner's soul when he was 4 years old. So, comments, Joseph. What's your take on this?
I know for sure that Hillary Clinton was talking to a demon when she claimed, oh, I'm conjuring Eleanor Roosevelt here in the White House, and we're going to have great seances here in the White House, basically, she said over and over again.
Yeah, seances. So
I really got awakened to the elites in 2013 when the Lord led me to listen to Alex Jones somehow in West Palm Beach. I found him, and I've been staying pretty consistently, you know, close to him, so to speak, watching him throughout the years, and he's exposed Hillary, he's exposed Obama and so many others, and I really believe 100% that they do know how to channel demonic entities, and Les Wexner really is truthful there. I really believe Les Wexner knows how to not only conjure a demon, maybe through some act of pedophilia or some child sacrifice or whatever, but I really believe that he's in tune with a demonic principality, a higher level one, not just a low level demon in Satan's hierarchy, if you will.
Right.
And it's real. It's really sad. And I've been pretty close to some Bilderberg members, like Peter Thiel last year. I saw Peter Thiel at close blank range, or however you say it, multiple times, and he literally looked like a very demonically possessed man. I do believe he's demonically possessed. His face, his countenance looks so demonic. Multiple times when I saw him outside that Grand Hotel in downtown Stockholm, when he was being a part of the Bilderberg conference, wow, that was crazy. My friend Dan Dix got a nice confrontation in maybe for about a minute where he was, you know, 10 feet away from him maybe, and you could really see it in Peter Thiel's countenance and his face that he was definitely not only under the gun, but just miserable and demonic and knowing that he's on the wrong side of history. So I don't trust Palantir. I don't trust any of that stuff. Any of that AI stuff on Palantir.
Yeah, I don't either.
But it can be used as a utility, like my iPhone. I can use it as a weapon of warfare in the information war against Satan, of course.
Right, the technology is neutral.
Like C-3PO. We can have a C-3PO, so to speak, you know, helping us with chores and, you know, posting for us on Instagram. But I don't want there to be a two-way window. I want it just to be us, you know, him and I, if you want to call him him, and where I can be in control of where the information is going and making sure that none of that goes to any AI data center.
Right. Yeah.
Any information that I give the robot, that is.
So what do you think? What do you think the connection between AI and demons are? I was just reading a thing from Mike Adams where he was talking about, because there was an article that was admitting it was going AI somehow knows things that it's not trained on. AI is able to understand things that it should not be able to understand. And Mike Adams is like, yeah, guys, it's because it's communicating with a higher dimension in a way that we don't even have the ability to like track or determine what's happening.
It's interdimensional.
Yeah.
And Joshua and I earlier this year went to Los Alamos, New Mexico to check out the Los Alamos laboratory, which is super creepy and super sophisticated. And Phil Schneider, you know, years ago in the 90s talked about such technology that it was even hard for me to believe it at first, but now I for sure know that that type of technology exists where they can do interdimensional stuff, different scientists. And I believe in Los Alamos underground and in other underground military bases, deep underground military bases, DUMs, there are things where they can basically beam me up, Scotty, if you will. They can take a human being and teleport him or her across the world.
Right.
And so maybe there are some very high-tech interdimensional technologies built into the iPhone 17 Pro Max, which I have, maybe. But it could get to the point where we could just be thinking about something. You know, we can go by a 5G tower and they put a song on our head and then we go to the song on YouTube.
Yeah.
We go by that 5G
tower. Possible, for
sure. Or I start thinking about, you know, McDonald's and I look on my phone where a McDonald's is. I mean, I believe maybe that it's already there.
So where does the line get drawn, and how do you think this ties into transgender stuff? Because again, like, you know, a lot of people, even religious people, will not believe in things like possession or demons, but like, look at some of the videos of some of the, you know, shooters. The shooter from Canada is just literally laughing maniacally, and like, you hear, I mean, there's famous videos like abortion providers and like,
it's like
a different voice. It's like not their voice. I experienced it when I was doing camera for Owen really early on in like 2017 or something. And it's a famous clip, the Antifa chicken man.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, he literally is just like, and it was like, whoa, what is this? Yeah. So I mean, when you experience something like that face to face, it's like, no, something's going on. This is not explicable in a, in a scientific way. Something supernatural is happening.
When I was in front of that ICE facility in Minneapolis, going by those demonically possessed people, I could tell there was no natural reason for them to be hateful towards Joshua and I. Not at all. But all of a sudden, they would just be so demonic. Different people that we'd be around, they would just be so hateful. It was not them. There were entities that were, or an entity that was taking them over and looking at us like we're, you know, meat for their meal or something.
Right.
And it was just person after person. As I would walk around there, led by the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't go there unless the Holy Spirit led me to go. And they would just look at me, and they wouldn't be just looking at me as from a human standpoint, them being the leftist. There would be entities looking at me through them. And of course, I'm with the Holy Spirit. I have a close relationship. So I was confident that God would get us out of there. But man, it's one thing to watch a video online, but then to actually see those types of people, you know, beating people up, trying to kill Jake Lang at close blank range. Wow.
Yeah.
That was insane.
Doesn't come across the television screen, like being actually there. I know exactly what you mean. I mean, you look into these people's eyes and it's like, you almost feel sorry for them. I mean, you look at them, you're like, whoa, you are like messed up. Like there's something wrong with you.
And as long as you can build a foundation early, Satan in the child's life, where they don't build a spiritual foundation on the cornerstone, on Jesus Christ himself, then they're so easy to take over.
Right.
From a demonic point of view, you know, in their later years, in their teenage years, they can easily be manipulated into the leftist cult and be pawns. That's really what they are, just pawns for Satan.
You know, it's almost like, is there any part of you that thinks like this is just an easy, you know, reason to give? Because I just so often with stuff like transgender, it's like, how did we even get here? How did we get to the point that you have, you know, major medical schools teaching that you can trans 4-year olds? And it's like, you just look at some of the evil, some of the stuff that goes on today, and you're like, look, this has to be demons. Like, it's the only thing I can label it, because it doesn't make sense. Humans wouldn't do this. Humans exactly. wouldn't fall for this. Humans wouldn't treat their fellow humans like this. But then, you know, part of me is just like, no, that's just fallen humanity. You know, you don't need a demonic force to explain this. I mean, do you think it requires a demonic force, or is this just humanity at its lowest, do you think?
Oh, I for sure know that different demons are guiding different individuals, like Ilhan Omar.
Mm.
She gave me a demonic smile when I confronted her in Washington, D.C. a while back. And I know that there's no way they can accomplish what they've accomplished without having some interdimensional group that has some type of sophisticated intellect to the average human to guide them to building an AI system, which centuries ago, you know, maybe wasn't heard of to the common man.
Right.
To build, you know, an incredible water, you know, system for a city or a lighting system. I mean, some of it's from human beings, but like I was talking with Mike Adams today at his laboratory, he said, some of the stuff in my laboratory, I don't believe really came from humans because it was so sophisticated. All the different things it was showing me in his laboratory today. I mean, it's incredible. And different people throughout time have talked about being DARPA super soldiers and leaving their bodies, doing a DMT trip and interfacing with demons who told them specific things or gave them downloads of specific technologies that we now have.
Right.
And of course, Alex Jones wouldn't break the sources and the information when he talked about that years ago, but I believe DARPA is in connection with Satan himself, and they've been slowly able to bring forth different technologies and, you know, raise the water temperature as us little froggies are in the pot here, you know, as guinea pigs, so to speak.
Yeah.
To bring forth eventually their new world order, where you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast, the name of the beast, or the number of his name written about there in the book of Revelation.
And that's the classic thing about the book of Revelations is you read it and it somehow only makes sense with the technology that we have today. And it's like, how did they write this 1,000 years ago?
Literally, I was at CERN this year and literally it was like left one place after the other. When I looked left, when I looked right, it was just 666, 666, 666, CERN, 666. It was crazy. And I posted that video on my Instagram of my time at CERN, and the craziest thing, oh my gosh, maybe that's ever happened to me when I've been covering something like that happened. And I was with Joshua. We were at one of the entryways and two British looking ladies came out and they had a British accent and they were talking. And I said, you know where the statue of Shiva is? You know about that satanic ritual that happened in 2016, basically, to one of them? And she's like, oh yeah, it was satanic. Mm. Basically, she said, and Joshua was right there. I didn't get it on camera. And then I was like, this is an interdimensional gate. They're trying to bring demons in, basically. And she's like, yeah, I know. She just walked away with the other scientists. They had hard hats on. And I'm just like looking at Joshua. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And this is the video that
have a satanic ritual going on right there outside of CERN. Oh, then she said the one British lady, she's like, oh, the Shiva statue has now been put underground.
Oh, good.
Basically, because I was wondering where it was, because I wanted to go and get a shot, a video right by the Shiva statue. And she's like, oh no.
It's hidden now.
Hidden now, basically.
Because they got bad PR. But
then I was in one parking lot right outside CERN, and I talked to one of the engineers, and he's like, oh yeah, it's a giant science experiment, basically. And I was like, do not trust your leaders. It's right there on the video. Do not trust them. They're evil, basically. And he's just like, kind of like, whoa.
Yeah, they either don't think it's a big deal. Like they're like, yeah, demons. Yeah, we talked to demons. This is pretty cool. It's like, okay, what the hell's going on? But that video, I mean, the crazy thing people don't understand. Yeah, there's the CERN with the 666 symbol embedded. Of course, the Build Back Better logo is 666. I mean, they're not exactly subtle about it. But that video that came out, I mean, they never said, no, this is a hoax. They said, well, it was a joke. We were doing it. We don't really believe it, but it was just kind of a fun thing to do. But that video of the creepy ceremony is confirmed, basically. Yep. CERN said, yeah, that we did do that. It was, but just don't take it seriously. But yeah, that video is absolutely a satanic ceremony being carried out at CERN of all places, which it's almost like, you know, we say about Bohemian Grove and Alex Jones. It's like, if you can just wrap your mind around that fact that, like, with Bohemian Grove, you have all of these weirdo leaders of the world wearing black robes and doing human sacrifice. Like, really wrap your mind around what that means. Really wrap your mind around the fact that some of the most high-tech scientific institutions out there, like CERN, are holding very sincere devil worshiping ceremonies in the middle of their complexes. Really wrap your mind around what that means for technology. It's wow. Weird.
So I've been by the entryway of Bohemian Grove, and that's not even as demonic as my time when I actually jumped over the fence there in New Mexico and walked onto the Zora Ranch. That place, wow.
That place was
some
worse.
Some serious evil has gone down. And so many detectives who have been and are in law enforcement would concur with my analysis because they've been to murder scenes, and so many of them would say, yes, there was a demonic presence when I would go to the murder scene to investigate. There was some type of lingering evil there.
Mm.
So it's not that hard to, you know, have the receptors on. And thanks to DNA Force Plus, Superwave Vitality, and so many other things that I've had over the years, my pineal gland is super clean.
Right.
My system is super clean. So I am a great antenna for God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit to be used against the New World Order. I'm ready to die for King Jesus. I'm ready to live in the time written about in the book of Revelation where you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast, the number of his name, or the name of the beast. And I'm not afraid. I know where I'm going. I'm going to be with King Jesus, and I only have so much time left in this body. And the main focus for me for the rest of my life mainly will be Washington, D.C. As long as it is in existence and it doesn't get, you know, nucleared, I'm ready to go there and fight.
Well, and I know you're going to go there. What's next for you? I'm not sure.
I plan on confronting Bill Clinton first on the 26th, and then Hillary Clinton on the 27th with Ivan Raiklin on Capitol Hill. So stay tuned.
Okay, good.
This month.
I wasn't sure if that was, if you were going to make that public or not, because I want to go to this video of Hillary Clinton. And I'm very concerned about this because I think it seems to me like Hillary and Bill Clinton, who clearly have been involved in the CIA since before he was governor. I mean, they are kingpins in this operation and were always the, you know, the first people talked about by the victims when they said, who else should we look into? It was always, well, Bill Clinton was always next to Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, they were best friends. And yet they've been called to testify in front of Congress. And it's the Clintons that are saying, we want to do this in public. We want to get the transcript out there. So I'm sitting here like, okay, clearly they know all of the really bad stuff has been scrubbed. It's never going to get released. So now they're going to go out and try to act like they're the ones championing, you know, the roundup of elite pedophilia. It's such an inversion and it's so crazy. But I think they're going to try to pull that off. And we'll go to the clip in just a second. But what's your take on that, on just the fact that the Clintons are so suspiciously excited to testify?
That shows how demonically possessed not only they are, but so many people around them, and how fallen the system in general, the federal government system, is.
Right.
And I'm just so ready to get right in front of Hillary and speak about King Jesus right to her face and see her just, you know, have a demonic episode and she just passes out and dies right on the spot. That would be fantastic.
It's probably illegal to spray people with holy water without their permission, but that could be telling.
I'm ready to, you know, evangelize to Bill. Maybe he's got some hope. I don't know. He looks pretty demonically possessed. But maybe there's hope for him. But for Hillary, for sure, I believe there's no way she's going to make it to paradise. I believe her heart has been hardened, and she's going straight to hell.
Because of her choice.
Yeah, her choice.
Let's go to this video. This is Hillary Clinton. And again, I get a pit in my stomach being like, why are they so confident? Because these people are tied in. I mean, they are up to their ears in Epstein muck. Here's Hillary Clinton pretending not to be.
Do you regret the links that there have been?
You know, we have no links. We have a very clear record that we've been willing to talk about, which my husband has said. He took some rides on the airplane for his charitable work. I don't recall ever meeting him.
Did you ever meet Ghislaine Maxwell?
I did on a few occasions, and thousands of people go to the Clinton Global Initiative. So it to me is not something that is really at the heart of what this matter is about. They are accused and in both cases were convicted of horrific crimes against girls and women. That should be the focus. And we are more than happy to say what we know, which is very limited and totally unrelated to their behavior or their crimes. And we want to do it in public because let's make this transparent.
There are calls for another individual who denies wrongdoing to go before Congress on this matter. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, formerly Prince Andrew. Do you think he should testify?
I think everybody should testify.
Look, including the former prince.
I think everybody should testify who is asked to testify. I just want it to be fair. I want everybody treated the same way. That's not true for my husband and me, because other witnesses were asked to testify. They gave written statements under oath. We offered that. They want to pull us. Why do they want to pull us into this? To divert attention from President Trump. This is not complicated.
By releasing thousands of pages of documents, cooperating with Oversight Committee subpoena requests, and President Trump recently calling for further investigations into Epstein's Democrat friends, the Trump administration has done more for victims than Democrats ever have. That's the statement from the White House. Prince Andrew has consistently said he's, there you go. That is basically the look. It's like, lady, we don't even have to go to Epstein to find connections to you, the global, Clinton Global Initiative and human trafficking at an industrial scale. Ever heard of Laura Silsby? Like, what is she talking about and what makes her so confident, Joseph?
Man, she's really confident in her demonic power, for sure. Larry Nichols talked about it years ago with Alex, how she would go to witch church in California and how she would have seances in the White House. I believe Larry Nichols' testimony about her. And I'm ready to see her face to face, and I'm ready to invoke God over her, and hopefully she'll be indicted and arrested. I mean, it's so easy to find an indictment excuse, if you will, to go after her.
Yeah, it really is endless. But of course, she is, as I've always explained, you know, when the system, as it were, goes out of its way to protect Hillary Clinton, they're protecting themselves, right? Because she is a kingpin in a massive criminal conspiracy. So they're incentivized to protect her with everything they've got, not because they love her, but because they'll go down if she does. So, you know, her role in this, Clinton's role, you know, Bill Clinton's role in this has been established for, you know, 30 plus years at this point. And again, just the fact that they're acting like they're the aggrieved party is hysterical. And I mean, it was her email in, you know, 2016, the Pizzagate email, where she says, "I'm sacrificing a chicken to Moloch," when she's, emailing Linda Rothschild. So it's like, lady, you are as involved in this as probably more than just about anybody except for Epstein himself. So again, I'm concerned that she's so confident. I think
she knows
something.
That Marina Abramovich was brought up by that California witch cult that Hillary was a part of for all those years.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, California is a hot. Why is California such a hot spot for this? I mean, San Francisco obviously is like the central node of this.
The worst place that God's ever sent me to. Where I've seen the occult just out in plain sight has been Sedona, Arizona. Like, you can't throw a rock, so to speak, without finding a psychic shop in Sedona. LA is maybe the second to that, but in the United States, there are maybe 5,000 strong new age / psychic people channeling demons, making money off demons, you know, soothsaying through them to clients in Sedona, Arizona. But LA has a lot too. I've gone to different psychics over the years, walked right in God's name, and have told them, you know, follow Jesus. And so many of them just like, I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of Satan. I'm not afraid of dying. So I plan on being risen up by God and being a political powerhouse for God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in the future. I'm not afraid.
And you're going to be confronting the demons themselves, Hillary and Bill, when they go to testify in a peaceful and you know, First Amendment protected way. What else do you have line ahead?
I plan on visiting a lot of places like Rome in the future and shooting a documentary there. The City of London inside London. I plan on getting footage of that. And I plan on making a documentary about all the different occult stuff in Washington, D.C. that I've seen. Just right in plain sight.
Everywhere. Absolutely everywhere.
I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah. Have you seen the Masonic Temple in Alexandria?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's
I've been inside of it, and that's a pretty dark place. But that place isn't as dark as the Zora Ranch because – it seems like there hasn't been any big satanic stuff that's gone down inside the Alexandria Masonic Temple for a long time. But that Zora Ranch, I was like, whoa.
Well, you can find Joseph Philip Daniels and his, what do we call them, adventures to Zora Ranch and your future endeavors on Instagram at Joseph Philip Daniel 1. Go to JosephPhilipDaniel.com. Thanks for being with us, folks.
Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. Your support keeps us on air, and I thank you so much. And I want to give back to you. For those on the fence, I want you to experience ultramethylene blue, ultramethylene red, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, our bovine colostrum. It's a private label, the top brand in the country, 2,000 milligrams per little scoop. So good for your skin, your hair, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that comes off a cow or any other mammal is incredible. And this is the final week. This only happens every few months. Where you don't just, every time you make a purchase, get put in one time in the raffle for whatever cool American-made supercar they're having, off-road, Mustangs, you name it. You get put in 100X into the raffle, which they've never done before, in this week. And you get put in to win both vehicles, both the F-250 diesel and the Ford Mustang Shelby. That is a huge deal, and $20,000 cash. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.